Blog Talk Radio.
September the 11th was a monumental day in our nation's history. It was a significant day, and it was obviously, it changed my presidency. I went from being a president that was primarily focused on domestic issues to a wartime president. Something I never anticipated, nor something I ever wanted to be.
My name is Betty Ong. I'm number 3 on flight 11. Somebody stabbed in business class. Our number 1 has been stabbed and our 5 has been stabbed. We can't even get into the cockpit. We don't know who's up there.
Nobody moved. Everything was okay. If you try to make any moves, you're dangerous yourself and the airplane. Let's stay quiet.
It's 8:52 here in New York. I'm Brian Dumble. We understand that there has been a plane crash on the southern tip of Manhattan. You're looking at the World Trade Center. We understand that a plane has crashed into the World Trade Center. We don't know anything more than that. We don't know if it was a commercial aircraft. We don't know if it was a private aircraft. We have no idea how many were on board or what the extent of the injuries are right now.
Welcome back to Fox News. We have a very tragic alert for you right now. An incredible plane crash into the World Trade Center here at the lower tip of Manhattan.
It's believed the 737 has crashed into this speculation at this point, but at least 3 floors taken out, crashed into the side of the building. Joining us right now, one of the producers with Fox Report, Owen Mugen on the scene. Owen, what do you know? What do you see? Where are you?
Yeah, Brian, I'm on the roof of my building, which is about 5 blocks to the south of the World Trade Center. I'm looking right now at the World Trade Center. There's a massive gaping hole on the second tower. It's about 15 stories from the roof. It's just unbelievable to look at. There's a
right.
massive hole.
It looks like something out of a movie. There is a huge hole in the side of Tower Number 1. Owen, your apartment is just a few blocks from it. Did you hear anything?
I was lying in bed. All of a sudden, I heard what sounded like a plane or something coming extremely low, and then we just heard this shattering explosion. I ran up to the roof and confronted by this horror. There's a gaping hole. I can see the south face. And there are flames, there are papers flying out of the windows, black flames, there are flames coming out of multiple floors.
Did it sound like there is one report on one news channel here in New York City that perhaps it was a jet, perhaps a 737. When you heard the noise, did it sound like a prop job or a jet?
It sounded like a jet, but from where I was, I just couldn't tell. All I know is that there was something flying through the air. And then this massive impact. Whether it was a jet, I just don't know.
Listening to you right now, I hear a lot of sirens. Is that what you're hearing right now? I mean,
yeah. I'm going to move to the front of my, which will. You can just see it right now. You can see emergency vehicles tearing south on the West Side Highway, heading toward the scene. There are tons of people in the streets. There are papers, things fluttering out. I can't see any evidence of what it was that could have crashed. All I can see is just this massive gaping hole with tons of black smoke falling out of the building.
Owen, we have a satellite picture
right now.
That is it.
A live picture. As you can see, this is different. This is a different perspective than we saw earlier. The plane obviously went in on one side and came out the other. There's debris all over the ground down below.
Broke through on part.
Exactly. And as you can see, it affects perhaps 10 floors of the World Trade Center building. It is over 100 stories tall. It is the tallest structure in New York City. It is near the flight path for Newark.
Right.
And many times, whenever people for Newark, Kennedy, or LaGuardia, when those planes are put into rotation as they're waiting for landing, they circle around this area, which is right near the Statue of Liberty. It is almost 9 o'clock here on the East Coast, and let me tell you, folks are in that building early, and without a doubt, there are many people who were impacted by it.
It's speculated that the plane is as big as a 737. It looked originally like it just hit three floors. As I see from this angle, it seems like more than three floors, and perhaps what's disturbing, Edie, I think, is the time of day. This time of morning is when people pour into that building, and it's usually next to full.
We've got to also remember this is near the financial district on the tip of Manhattan. There are so many people at this hour who are in that neighborhood. And aside from the people who are in the building, remember, this is a huge structure, 10.5 million square feet, the World Trade Center's take up. And as you can see, for perspective, there goes a helicopter right by it. And it obviously impacted one side and wound up affecting perhaps the other side. We do know there is debris all over the floor, down the pavement down below, and crews are, they've got all the police and the fire department and the emergency technicians are headed to that area. This is horrible.
And also, when you think about what happened to the World Trade Center before, with the bombing there and the chaos that surrounded it, this is a much different challenge,
right,
just as grave.
And also, from one of our perspectives, we can see that not only are there gaping holes, but debris continues to fall down below at this hour. As you can see, this is a story of enormous magnitude.
Oh, my gosh.
And we will have all the latest right here on Fox News right now.
Tim, just a few moments ago, something believed to be a plane crashed into the South Tower of the World Trade Center. I just saw flames inside. You can see the smoke coming out of the tower. We have no idea what it was. It was a tremendous boom just a few moments ago. You can hear around me emergency vehicles heading towards the scene. Now, this could have been an aircraft, or it could have been something internal. It appears to be something coming from the outside due to the nature of the opening on about the 100th floor of the South Tower of the World Trade Center.
This just in, you were looking at obviously a very disturbing live shot there. That is the World Trade Center, and we have unconfirmed reports this morning that a plane has crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center. CNN Center right now is just beginning to work on this story, obviously calling our sources and trying to figure out exactly what happened, but clearly something relatively devastating happening this morning there, the south end of the island of Manhattan.
Live from the CBS 2 Information Network, this is Breaking News.
Good morning, Michael Pomeranz, along with Lisa Hill. Some breaking news to report. You're looking at a live picture of the World Trade Center, where we have just received word that a plane apparently has crashed into the tower, one of the two towers. At this point, we don't have further information regarding the type of plane, the extent of injuries. Obviously, it looks quite severe.
We're not sure if that's building number one or two, but obviously a lot of black smoke. We don't know what size plane that was, whether it was a Cessna, a Piper, or even larger.
This is a live picture from our camera on the Empire State Building looking toward the World Trade Center. A three-alarm fire and a report of an explosion somewhere in the World Trade Center. You can see the plume of smoke from the top of one of the World Trade Center towers. And this has just come into us, word of this incident at the World Trade Center. The fire department responding with a large number of crews to the World Trade Center. I don't have a lot more detail on this than that at the moment, but you can see, obviously, there's a lot of smoke there. And at that height of the World Trade Center, obviously, a very difficult fire to fight.
This is a special report from News Channel 4.
Good morning, everybody. I am Jane Hansen in the News Channel 4 studio this morning to bring you some news. We are looking at a picture now of the World Trade Center, and we have an eyewitness on the telephone who tells us that he has seen an airplane crash into the World Trade Center. His name is Tony Arrigo. He is on East 12th Street. Tony, can you please tell us what
you
witnessed?
Yes, I can tell you what happened. I was taking the garbage out of the building when we heard this roaring engines coming. We looked up, and there was a plane. Next thing you know, we heard boom. We ran up to the corner and hit right into the World Trade Center.
Tony,
center.
Can, can you tell us what kind of an airplane is it?
It had to be a 737 that had to hit the World Trade Center. It was a big, big plane.
WCBS News Time 848 is traffic and weather together, sponsored by Henry Miller's Theater. Tom Kaminsky, Chopper 880.
All right, Pat, we are just currently getting a look at the World Trade Center. We have something that has happened here at the World Trade Center. We noticed flame and an awful lot of smoke from one of the towers of the World Trade Center. We are just coming up on this scene. This is easily three quarters of the way up. We are. This has whatever has occurred has just occurred within minutes, and we are trying to determine exactly what that is. But currently, we have a lot of smoke at the top of the towers of the World Trade Center. We will keep you posted.
I just witnessed a plane that appeared to be cruising slightly lower than normal altitude over New York City, and it appears to have crashed into, I don't know which tower it is, but it hit directly in the middle of one of the World Trade Center towers.
Sean, what kind of plane? Was it a small plane, a jet?
It was a jet. Looked like a two-engine jet, maybe a 737.
You're talking about a large passenger commercial jet. And where were you when you saw this?
I am on the 21st floor of 5 Penn Plaza.
Did it appear that the plane was having any difficulty flying?
Yes, it did.
What do you see at this point?
Oh, smoke and screaming and, screaming engines and all the fire engines and police departments are all traveling down that way. Oh, my God almighty, the black smoke all over the place. I hope nobody, there's got to be somebody killed in it and poor people that went to work.
Well, Tony, we don't have any confirmation from any officials of this happening. Just repeat again, you were just going outside.
I was bringing the garbage out to the freight entrance when we heard this roaring engine. We looked up and there was the plane. Next thing we know, in a matter of seconds, we heard a boom. We went to the corner and there it was, right in the middle of the World Trade Center.
This has been an ABC7 Eyewitness News special report.
Good evening, everyone, or good morning, actually. We have breaking news, this out of downtown Manhattan. A plane has allegedly crashed into the World Trade Center. You're looking at live pictures right now from News Chopper 7. A plane has crashed into the side of the World Trade Center. Details at this hour, very sketchy. At 8:51, that is the time right now, just a few moments ago, allegedly a plane has crashed into the World Trade Center. We don't have any reports of what type of plane, what perhaps the carrier was, how many injuries are there right now.
I'm on West Street right out of the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel, and I heard an enormous explosion, then I heard another enormous explosion. It scared me. I looked out the window, and an enormous tire, what appeared to be a tire, smashed down on the street in front of me, and I looked out, and there was enormous amount of debris, and we were about two or three or four blocks down from the World Trade Center. And it was just, it was the scariest thing I've ever seen.
Sir, did you see what happened?
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I saw something like bombing.
Did you see anything hit the building or did it come from the building?
That's the bomb, I think so. That's the
something
bomb.
Hit the building?
Yeah.
All right, thank you. All right, we got some other people. They're all rushing away from the site.
Don't blame him, especially that fellow with a little girl in his arms.
Did you see what happened, sir? Did you see what happened? What happened?
Well, I was in the past train, and there was a huge explosion sound. Everyone came out. A large section of the building is blown out around, like, the 80th floor.
Was it hit by something, or was it something
inside?
It was inside.
Because it looked out. Everything was coming out.
Everything
all
was
the
coming.
Windows were coming out. All the papers were
what is on
out.
The sidewalk?
I didn't see anything.
Were there any people hurt, do you know?
I just ran, and everyone in the past train just ran. I don't know if anyone was hurt, but I assume they were because the windows were all blown out.
All right, thank you.
So we want to go live right now and show you a picture of the World Trade Center, where I understand... Do we have it? No, we do not. We have a breaking story, though. We're going to come back with that in just a moment. First, this is Today on NBC.
Now, by the entire ABC network, Good Morning America was in progress in the East Coast and the Midwest, but we're joined by the entire network just to show you some pictures at the foot of New York City. This is at the World Trade Center. Obviously, a major fire there, and there has been some sort of explosion. We don't fully know the details. There is one report, as of yet unconfirmed, that a plane has hit the World Trade Center, and you can see that there is smoke there coming out of at least two sides of the building.
And as you said, there are two towers, the tallest structures in Manhattan on the island of Manhattan. We're trying to get people on the telephone to see what more we can learn. We have no idea if it was a plane, was it in any sense deliberate, was it an accident? it does seem to be that there is considerable and truly terrifying damage on some of those floors.
This is a breaking news story, a serious news story.
What?
A plane has crashed into the World Trade Center.
You're kidding!
The World Trade Center is on fire, which is the...
Let me look out my window.
It's the tallest...
Just heard you.
Right there.
Was it like one of those private planes?
You see it?
Dude, that's hot. Oh, my God. I got to go out on my roof. This is incredible. The whole thing is on fire.
Yeah.
You're right.
I mean, not a little fire.
No, it's huge.
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah.
If a plane hits a building.
I gotta run.
How did it take so long to happen?
I'll call you back.
I'm always amazed.
Because, you know, a plane once crashed in the 40s. A plane crashed right into the Empire State Building. Like, right in.
Right.
What kind of plane?
Was it a private... stupid plane?
I don't have any more details. I'm following this story.
I hope this wasn't one of those, like, terrorist kamikaze attacks.
But it's a very serious story. I mean, I'm sure there's... But fortunately, it's early in the morning. Maybe not too many people are in the building.
Yeah, hope not.
You know what? That's a financial building. Those people get in really early.
Yeah.
I mean, they really do. It's like...
For the international market.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, what do they do there, though?
I'm not sure if the plane is... Like, a portion of the plane isn't actually stuck into the building.
It looks like something hanging out there.
Do you see on the left-hand side of your screen?
Yeah. I got you.
I don't know if you can see it.
Good Lord.
Oh, they just pulled back for you.
Yeah.
See that?
Is that a helicopter?
I think it's a helicopter that's hovering around to see what's going on.
No, I see what he's saying.
It's a piece of the plane hanging off the building. Oh, I don't know if that's smoke or a piece
you
of the plane.
You can't really tell.
But dude, it's really smoking.
Yeah. Huge fire.
It's like towering inferno, because once it gets started, what happens?
I don't even know how you begin to fight that fire.
You got to watch your monitor. They're going to play back. There was just an explosion.
Oh, my God. Let me see.
Oh, no.
This is. What happened, Tom? What do you know?
I mean, all I know is that apparently a plane, I've heard Channel 2 describe it as it looked like someone was driving, a drunk driver driving a car, flew into the building.
Was it a terrorist attack?
Look at that.
Unbelievable.
Oh, a huge hole.
See what's going on at the World Trade Center.
Wow, look at that.
It's even lower now, the explosion.
Looks like a movie.
It is. Yeah, it does. It looks like a movie special effect.
Oh, stop.
Vinny, what are you talking about?
There's no time to be making a...
This is not even a joke.
Wait, hold on. Is the other one catching
fire? Wait a second. Let me see that again.
Pull that up again.
Is it in both buildings?
It looks like the other buildings are caught now.
Well, yeah, this is going to be massive. Yeah. Are there people in the building? There's got to be people in the building.
I don't know who said it was Gary or John, but you're right. I mean, how does the fire department deal with this?
I don't know.
Well, they said emergency crews are rushing to the scene.
That's a hole like the Oklahoma City hole in a building. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There it is.
That's a heart.
That's flames, man.
See, that's really
the second building. So.
Oh my God.
No.
It's the one on the
second
right.
Building's on fire.
That's right. The one on the right has a hole in it.
A hole in it. The other one's the one that exploded.
No, I think it was
the back
side of the first building.
That's a reflection.
At least I hope it was.
I do, too.
It's a rumor. Somebody just called and said that on CNN. A second plane just crashed into one.
Stop it.
A second plane.
Wait a minute.
The building.
Look at two buildings, and that is lower.
So it's a terrorist attack, isn't it?
That's what they're saying.
It's got to be.
Somebody just called.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no.
A second plane might have crashed, and a second building is on fire.
Why does everyone go to the World Trade Center?
What do they do there?
It's a big target.
Landmark in New York?
It's the biggest landmark in New York, really, isn't it?
Next to Garcia.
It's the tallest.
Oh, my God.
And it's a place where people can be killed. Like, you can't take down the Statue of Liberty. Nobody's going to be killed there. Hey, maybe I should put the sound on.
Yeah. I mean, we've got Channel 2.
Yeah, give me some sound.
What's all that?
Hold on.
That's flying in the air. You see that?
Like papers or something.
Well, yeah, there's going to be a lot of debris and stuff.
Does this scare you?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it does scare me. We're totally too lax in this country. Trying to tell you. Tell me if you're ready.
Now at the scene, we should tell you that approximately 40,000 people work in the World Trade Centers between the two towers, each building 110 stories tall. And joining us now on the phone again is John McLennan. He works at 200.
I hope it's not Captain James.
And has witnessed some of this unfold.
Just before 9 o'clock, ladies and gentlemen. Hello?
Hello?
John, you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Just before 9 o'clock this morning, an unbelievable event happened, catastrophic event. A plane crashed into the World Trade Center Tower number 1 not more than 3 minutes ago. A second explosion happened at Tower number 2. We're being told that it could have been another plane, although what we saw was just an explosion.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Michael, you said 40,000 people work at World Trade Center. Unbelievable.
unbelievable. We're efforting reporters on the scene are trying to get down there. Marcella Palmer, namely, as many others that we have called in and heading down there. We're trying to get people who have been eyewitnesses to this to call us so that we can hear what they know and what they've seen. We're hearing that it could have been a Boeing 737 or an Airbus from one of our witnesses.
So it was two planes?
We're not still sure.
So you think it was two planes?
They're not sure.
Explosion on the second World Trade Center tower.
They don't know.
But if it was one of those size planes, those are huge jets.
We have no confirmation on the injuries, as Lisa mentioned. We have no knowledge as to how many people involved. However, our producers are telling us now that we do have some videotape.
Oh.
Of the second plane, and you can see it there.
No.
Where? I didn't see it. Oh, whoa.
Oh, my God.
We're under attack.
And from our vantage point, yeah, clearly difficult to tell.
We're under attack.
What type of plane that is, but it's a horrific scene.
All right, we've just been told also, Michael, sorry, the New York Stock Exchange is being evacuated, as is, I'm sure, much of Wall Street, if not all of it, as much as possible. But the New York Stock Exchange has suspended trading for the moment.
It's war. Come on.
Everyone tries to get out
of
the
Japanese
area.
This
is Pearl Harbor.
We got to go bomb everything over there.
We got to bomb the hell out of them. You know who it is. I can't say, but I know who it is.
That's crazy.
What is that, Tom?
There it is. There it is. Yep. I see it.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
Going into
what are you saying, Tom?
I've never seen anything like. Obviously,
me neither.
Nobody's ever seen anything like that.
Oh my God!
But it's a suicide mission.
Yeah, suicide mission.
They're doing it over here now.
We can't put words in the FAA's mouth or any flight.
I know who's doing it.
Tower information.
There's no way a 737 would do
and it. On a what seemingly is a relatively clear New York day.
Yeah.
Two plane impacts. One. You just witnessed there, saw on tape.
It's a suicide mission.
Yeah.
We're at war.
Look at that.
And who are we at war with?
The second one.
Is this our Chopper 2 picture?
Not long after 9. Yeah, this is, I believe, a picture from Chopper 2.
That's
Jim Smith,
amazing.
Are you up there?
Yes, we are, Michael and Lisa. We have been forced to stay about 5 miles away from the World Trade Center. A flight restriction has been put in place, but right now we are looking at live pictures. The tower on the left, that is tower number one, and we can tell you that we can still see the flames and smoke coming out of that, as well as the tower to the right. That is tower number two. You can see the damage to that about the middle of the building. Just incredible what we are witnessing here from about 5 miles away from the World Trade Center.
Jim, I don't know if you were able to see the videotape that we showed moments ago, and if you have any information at all as to what type of plane and what carrier may be involved.
We did not have that as of yet, Michael. Unfortunately, we were unable to see.
The attacks occurred 18 minutes apart.
The speaker is right now talking with air traffic control. We're trying to determine what exactly happened here, what type of plane, to be exact, was involved here, as well as the carrier involved.
We're showing people again that videotape that was shot just moments ago of plane making impact into the second of the trade centers. Again, both 110 stories tall, 40,000 people working between them.
Dominic is on the phone. He seems to want to say something. Yes, Dominic. Oh, he's gone. What is it, Joey Boots?
Howard, hey, I'm down on West 4th Street. We heard the first explosion. We went outside. We're watching the smoke come out. There's a hole in the side of the building. All of a sudden, maybe, I don't know, 10 minutes later, there was another plane flying around, and that disappeared into the building also, and you had like a third explosion after that.
How big did that plane look?
The second plane was a decent-sized plane. It looked like it would hold maybe 50, 60 people.
Really?
Yeah, let me tell you something. Like, we're looking on TV, and the World Trade Center is so big that it looks like
I'm
a tiny plane.
Here. You couldn't even believe the sight. I mean, I've never seen anything like this before. We heard the first explosion. It rocked my friend's apartment, and he lives West 4th Street, and that's downtown, and we could see the Twin Towers right from here. There's smoke filling out of the side of the building. There's a hole in the side. Then we saw the other plane flying around after we were out there watching it for a few minutes, and that plane disappeared into the building, and it blew up.
They're flying right into the plane, into the building.
This is them cowhead bastards.
Well, we don't know who it is.
No, I know that.
I got a feeling.
It could be a...
You can't say that, but I can say that. It's about time we take these cowhead bastards and throw them out of the damn country.
Well, don't overreact.
We're too nice to people,
Let's
man.
Find out who
maybe,
it is. We're going to find out. Once I find out...
Then we'll get crazy.
Then we'll get crazy.
I got a lot of friends at work in that building. I'm sitting here watching it burning right now.
I know, Joey.
The attack happened. And I just
you know people down there?
Somebody now.
You do? I do, too.
My father used to work in that building.
Who does?
My father used to work
in that building. Yeah, we know tons of people down there.
Your ex used used to work in that building.
Yeah, I know that.
My wife used to work in that building.
Let's go to Mike, who works in the building next door. Joey Boots, stay on the line. Yeah, Mike.
Hi. Howard, how you doing?
Yeah.
It's crazy over here. It's like chaos. It's like the Armageddon.
Of course.
The first plane we didn't see.
But you ought to get out of your building, dude.
All we saw was fire. Then the second time, we actually saw the plane circle around and it smashed into the building.
Plane.
We're under attack.
Did you see
there are people flying planes into New York City and crashing into buildings.
It's chaos. There's people all over the place.
What are you saw the plane?
I saw the second plane.
What did it look like? Did it look like a commercial plane?
No, it looked like maybe one of those Airbus type things, like an MD-80.
Hey, Howard.
Yeah.
Howard, anybody else that's out there listening now that's working at New York City Landmarks, take my word, be on the lookout right now, because these guys, they like to do these in multiple numbers.
There could be
Remember
more coming in.
Out of the bombing. They're going to bomb a whole bunch of sites. Make sure everybody takes watch and...
The Air Force is stunned. What? Yeah. You can rag on me tomorrow. I'm in the middle of organizing a military action. Thank you.
Like, how do you combat this, though?
You know how. Reagan stopped them.
Go in there and you teach them a lesson.
We know where these people are.
Yeah.
You know exactly where they are. We need to send some cruise missiles over there right now and just start bombing the hell out of them.
Today.
We're always
right
worried
now.
About the innocent civilians who live around.
You know what? Innocent civilians, so what? They shouldn't be living by these guys, supporting them, all that crap,
you.
Okay?
How about this? We won't do anything.
What about how?
No,
We won't do anything.
Trust me, you will.
GW, you better get on the stick.
Hey, GW, you're listening to this right now. You better bomb the hell out of those tower heads.
Howard, what was the end result of after the whole World Trade Center bombing and all the trials and everything else?
Yeah.
How many guys?
Nothing happened.
Nothing, right?
Nothing.
Oh, no, that's not true.
Well, some guys went to jail. Yeah. Big
but
deal.
Like four guys.
Where's O.B. Bin Laden or whatever his name is?
We never declared war on.
Hey, Howard. They tried to get Bin Laden in three different places. Remember that?
Oh, come on. We can't get Bin Laden. Then there's something wrong in this world.
Hey, Howard, I just talked to a guy. He just went by with a fire scanner. So there's multiple casualties.
Of course.
It's 9 o'clock. Everybody's at work at 9 o'clock. They timed it just perfectly. The opening of the stock market, everybody going to work.
How do they get a plane? I don't know. Two planes.
How fast it's spreading, huh?
Two.
Oh, the whole building's going up.
Those buildings are just going to be, they're like net boxes now.
Yeah, but everybody else
in the area. Let me go back to the news report for a second. Let's hear what's on the news.
Was planned by a terrorist group, or it can be just if the air traffic control system completely crashed. This is going to take a lot of investigating.
The air traffic control system. Hold it. Visually, no, it's a clear day in New York. There's no way two planes crash into the World Trade Center.
They're a legitimate news organization. They're not allowed to say what we're thinking, which is obvious.
You know, evaluate some of the injuries. They were.
Howard, I see that second plane flying around there. It disappeared, and then there was an explosion.
Yeah.
You know what? Today is
primary. I mean, it's pretty sensible to me what happened.
Medical service ambulances are also on alert. Remember, when there was the prior crash, there were 1,000.
I can't believe I'm seeing this either.
Today is primary day, Howard, and it also means that we're losing our mayor, Giuliani, and I really think he should declare, like, something and just stay in office.
He should declare a state of emergency. And
we can't afford to change.
Dude, you feel it still falling? Is it now debris falling to the street below?
Yeah, anyone in that area ought to get the hell. You guys, are you really a Joey?
West,
yeah. No, that's far enough.
He's far enough away.
You're far away?
No, I'm down on West 4th Street. I'm fine. But I'm hearing on the radio, they're talking about the plane is inside the building. There's multiple casualties. Howard, these towelheads, I'm telling you, we let them come to this country. They're here illegally, a lot of them. We don't even kick them out.
Well, we're letting everybody in here illegally.
Could the plane have been, like, loaded with explosives or something, you know?
Sure.
I mean, come on. What would you do if you wanted to bomb something? You'd lead with
just sticking a plane.
Explosives?
Just flying a plane into there would blow up the whole thing.
Will.
You know, I don't know how true it is, but I think while we were on vacation, I read in one of the newspapers that they are actually, honoring the families of these suicide mission guys they have over in
the PLO does that after they blow up an Israeli, town.
The family gets compensated.
Yeah, the family is treated like heroes.
Hamas or Hezbollah?
Hamas.
Joey, thanks.
All right, Howard.
Bye-bye.
There was another one. We just saw another one apparently go. Another plane just flew second tower. This raises to be deliberate, folks.
Well, that would begin to say that.
Saw on live television as a second plane flew into the second tower of the World Trade Center. Now, given has been going on around the world. Some of the key suspects come to mind, Osama bin Laden. Was what? Eric Schahn is with us. Eric, I know you have a lot of sources at the FBI and other agencies like that. What can you tell us?
Well, first, I apologize for being out of breath because I was walking down Fifth Avenue, which is close to our studios, and I heard a jet, perhaps a 737 or a small Airbus, flying low, unusually low over Fifth Avenue, making a right. I'm not going to say, I don't know, I don't have any reports on what type of plane hit the World Trade Center, but people looked up and it made a right toward the building. John, what we just saw, though, obviously, if that indeed was a second aircraft that hit the southern tower of the World Trade Center, that obviously raises the specter of an intentional terrorist attack here, if that is indeed what we are looking at. I don't know what the reports say of what type of plane hit the tower, but I did see a jet airliner that was fairly low. It was unusual, although not unusual in air traffic patterns, because airplanes that fly to LaGuardia often are vectored down south straight over Manhattan, but of course at an altitude that is far above the buildings, clearly, and that the avenue, if you look down Fifth Avenue, oftentimes you see planes, especially the ones from the north, coming down before they vector on a left turn to go up into 13 to 31 or 422, the two runways up at LaGuardia. But clearly this is tremendously disturbing if indeed that explosion that we just saw on television is indeed another airplane. This raises the possibility that is this an intentional attack, a terrorist attack. As we know, the World Trade Center was bombed in the garage back in the early 90s.
We're going to cut away from the live pictures for just a moment to replay what just happened. And I thought when it first happened, I thought it was a replay, but in fact, we saw this live perhaps 2 minutes ago. Look at that. A jet plane, clearly a jet plane, a good-sized airplane, slamming into the second tower of the World Trade Center. This after a report of another plane slamming into the North Tower, both towers now in flames. We have reports of at least 6 people killed, 1,000 injured, and clearly those numbers are going to go up. Bill Stokes is on the phone with us. He is an eyewitness to what happened. Bill, we just saw the video of the plane hitting the second tower. What did you see?
Well, I got to correct you and say I wasn't exactly an eyewitness. However, I was an ear witness. I live on Thompson Street in the Village, which looks directly down to the two towers. I was sitting at my desk by the window here working, and normally low-flying plane come right down the street practically, and then followed by a loud bang. People rushed from the apartments onto the street. I've never seen anything like it. Everybody's a little freaked out here.
With good reason.
And there's a sanitation worker that was picking up garbage that actually saw the plane fly down that street over Soho, and he saw it hit. And my question to him immediately was, thinking that this could be a missile, I said, was it a plane or was it a small missile? He said, no, it was definitely a plane, and it seemed like a large plane.
Well, we saw a large plane hit the second tower minutes after the first tower was engulfed in flames. We're going to look at it again. Look at the lower part of your screen. There is clearly a jet, a twin-engine jet, slamming into one side, and then the fireball, the debris raining out the far side of the South Tower of the World Trade Center. Now, Erica, I am reminded again of what happened back in 1989. The intent of those terrorists back then was to actually tower, wasn't it?
Yes, and I would obviously think if anyone makes, it could be a 737 of airliners. I think the question is, where does that airliner come from? Delta shuttle that goes from LaGuardia to New York. You've got theoretically indicated it would be a Delta shuttle. I'm not saying it is, folks. I don't want to alarm people. Also, Air Canada flies smaller Airbuses down from start to do right now is find out where these are. There any more coming, and what can they do to any intercept any others if there are? I imagine that there has got to be a ground hold right now at all the airports in the New York area, as well as a freeze in the air traffic center craft or around the New York metropolitan area. And if there are any other airplanes coming, perhaps the Air National Guard or others We'll have this in the air. Maybe they've already scrambled at the moment, as we've seen, sadly, horribly, what we've long feared and many have worried about and thought could never happen would be a terrorist attack, as we are witnessing right now. Not, obviously, the accident that happened with the Empire State Building back in the 1940s, 1945, B-25 hit the Empire State Building while it was trying to go to Newark.
This is clearly deliberate.
That chilling, horrible scene that we just saw, I think, is attack, not just in the World Trade Center, but at the very soul and the very heart of our nation, John.
Kai is in the WNYW chopper and has perhaps the best view of this. Let's listen into Kai's narration now.
Indeed, were two planes. We did see one. To get into the area.
You wonder,
these
are all the things that we're going to have to be, they're going to have to be answered. How could large planes just that quickly out of the control from our local?
Presumably commercial aircraft. Now we can't speak to the first one, but that second aircraft
being raised, how could two aircraft get in there so close? Well, if two want to take their planes anywhere, we don't have anti-air skyscrapers. I mean, it takes a matter of airport to the World Trade Center. A jetliner at full speed could cover that distance in a minute or two of pilots bent on destruction and like this. Now, again, folks, we have to remind you, 50,000 people work in these buildings each and every day. It happened right at 9 a.m. A good number of those folks were already at their desks. Toll is certainly going to be tremendous in this, and that's all that we can say about it. It is a tragedy. It is abhorrent. It is disgusting. But
you have to. I'm wondering: are these pilots terrorists themselves? Are there terrorists in the cockpit who are holding guns to a pilot's head? Did they?
I can't imagine.
You can speculate completely about how this happens. Because obviously it takes a lot of training and expertise to fly a complicated craft, whether it's a Boeing 737 or a smaller little Cessnas and little Pipers. So you have to wonder and raise the what possibility is going on in the cockpit.
All right,
they are intent, or if they're hijackers intentionally doing this.
A lot of questions still to be answered. Let's listen in again to Kai Simonson.
Can handle both in that confined space. Without
sometimes,
a tremendous
no matter call. How much you leave, how much you try to prepare for, until it actually happens, it's just not the same thing.
Again, you're looking at a live picture where shortly before 9 o'clock this morning, and then shortly after 9 o'clock, planes apparently deliberately crashed into the buildings.
And I felt a presence behind me. And Andy Card's Massachusetts accent was whispering in my ear, a second plane has hit the second tower. America is under attack. My first reaction was anger, you know. Who the hell would do that to America? And then I immediately focused on the children and the contrast between the notion of an attack and the innocence of children clarified my job. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a difficult moment for America. Today we've had a national tragedy. Two airplanes have crashed into the World Trade Center in an apparent terrorist attack on our country. I have spoken to the Vice President, to the Governor of New York, to the Director of the FBI, and have ordered that the full resources of the federal government go to help the victims and their families, and to conduct a full-scale investigation to hunt down and to find those folks who committed this act.
Since those two plane crashes happened within 20 minutes of each other, well, all of Manhattan has been sealed off. This is probably unprecedented. Of course, all of this is unprecedented in this dastardly occasion. But Manhattan has been sealed off. The Hudson River bridges and the tunnels have been sealed. Clearly, there is an attempt right now to thwart any further act of terrorism, act of violence against the people of Manhattan. So Manhattan is in a lockdown. We've heard that phrase used in school shootings. We've heard that phrase used in jailbreaks. I can't recall ever having that phrase used with regard to a city the size of Manhattan, but Manhattan is in a lockdown. It is sealed off. The Hudson River bridges, the tunnels, the east side, the west side, the north, the south, of course, we are an island here in Manhattan, has been sealed off. One can only guess that that the U.S. Armed Forces is now in a state of high alert to prevent any planes or any other vehicular travel, vehicular traffic in the air from impacting anywhere in Manhattan on civilian targets.
David Asman is joining us from Fox Central. David, what do you have?
John, we are hearing right now of another explosion that has taken place at the Pentagon. We have the heart of the financial district of America being attacked. Now we understand that there is an explosion, there has been an explosion in the Pentagon, the heart of the military command center of the United States of America, John. It can't get much worse than this, let's hope.
Clearly, that shot that we have on our screen now, this is the Pentagon just across the river from Washington, D.C. You gotta believe that it has happened again, another large airliner, perhaps hijacked, perhaps part of some widespread plan, apparently slamming into at least the area around the Pentagon, along with the World Trade Center in Manhattan, the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center in Manhattan. The Sears Tower in Chicago is being evacuated. Clearly, authorities all over the country are trying to be prudent in this unbelievable catastrophe. Two towers of the World Trade Center, 50,000 people who work in those buildings on fire, the fire out of control. Firefighters are going to take days, perhaps, to get this under control, but the Twin Towers on fire as after being slammed into by two jetliners earlier.
Jim, let me interrupt you.
We are looking at live pictures of the World Trade Center literally starting to crumble. It is falling apart as we watch these pictures live. The World Trade Center, 110 stories, literally starting to fall. Bill Daley, let me bring you into the conversation. I know this was the goal of the terrorist strike back in 1993.
Yeah, John, it was, and they thought they could do it by putting charges down in the basement and damaging the understructure. And as much as these buildings were built to withstand a certain large hit, and including some aircraft, apparently the structural integrity appears, from what we can see here, to be faltering to some degree.
They were not designed, perhaps, to take a direct strike from something the size of a 737 or perhaps an Airbus, perhaps fully loaded with fuel. Steel will melt, and that... All right, David Lee Miller is still with us. David, what can you tell us? David Lee Miller, can you tell us what happened there? All right. David Lee Miller, who has seen his share of horrors around the world in trouble spots in the Middle East and elsewhere, is in that area reporting on what we think we can see. I want to stress it's tough to...
Hello?
Yeah, David Lee, what can you tell us?
John, the scene is horrific. One of the two towers literally collapsed. I was making my way to the foot of the World Trade Center. Suddenly, while talking to an officer who was questioning me about my press credentials, we heard a very loud blast, an explosion. We looked up, and the building literally began to collapse before us. There was debris falling, I'd say, at least three-quarters the height of the building. People within the entire perimeter began literally, including myself, which is why I'm out of breath, to run for our lives. And I am now standing in a black cloud of smoke left over from the debris, there's soot. It's difficult to breathe. People ran into nearby office buildings once they got out of the danger zone just to be able to breathe. I'm on a payphone on the street right now, and I literally cannot see more than a quarter block away. That's how thick the smoke is. I'm on Murray Street in West Broadway, for those who know Lower Manhattan. Not clear now is why this explosion took place. Was it because of the planes that two planes dual attacked this morning, or was there some other attack which there has been talk of here on the street? But I can tell you this, that the police have moved people back, and it's going to be a long time.
Yeah, David, we are looking at the replay of what happened that you're describing. It happened just moments ago. It sure appears that, I'm just guessing now, that they gave way. The loss of life here is going to be enormous.
May God help those who are there and the victims and their families and all the souls that are lost today.
I think it's safe to say that virtually every family in America is going to be touched by this disaster.
This is what the terrorists back in 1993 tried to accomplish when they drove a van laden full of bombs into the garage. And apparently they were successful. John?
Let me bring in the former governor of New York, Mario Cuomo. He's with us by telephone now. Governor, what's your reaction? That's the only thing I can ask you.
It's the same as everyone else's. Everybody now is holding their breath and measuring the extent of the tragedy as it grows from moment to moment. And that will be the story, I'm sure, for the next 24 hours, is how much damage was done. I think the longer-range story is even more terrible. The longer-range story is who did it and why. And if it were a nation, it would be easy to deal with, but it's not a nation. It'll be individual terrorists.
Excuse me, Governor, can you hold on for just a second?
From the tower, from right to left, I guess west to east, and it just, everything just all of a sudden just imploded. I ran as fast as I could, went inside of a building about a block away. I stood in the building for a couple of seconds, and then all of a sudden the building started filling up with smoke. I was with a bunch of law enforcement officers. We couldn't get out of the building because everything was locked up. And then I came out, and everything was filled with ash, and it looks like I'm in a surreal movie.
Do you know if it was an explosion or if it was a building collapse?
To me it sounded like an explosion. Like the building collapsed.
Were there other people? There must have been a lot of people on the ground nearby when it happened.
Where that happened, there was mostly law enforcement. I don't think there were many civilians there. I don't know. Don't move, Pat. How many people were
when the building exploded?
Over on that corner there, I don't know. There might have been 100, 150. I don't know.
What's your full name, officer?
Police Officer Gronowski.
All right. Thanks a lot. Good luck.
What is that happening? Folks, you're looking at live pictures on the left of your screen. On the right of your screen, the tower, one of the twin towers of the World Trade Center.
There's thick ash on the ground. Lots of it. Pandemonium here a short time ago. When the building did collapse or whatever it was that happened, it was a huge explosion, a huge rumbling cloud of smoke and fire came across Church Street and then started billowing this way, and all we saw were people running in this direction. Everyone, law enforcement people, a woman pushing a baby carriage. This is actually, we believe, debris from one of the planes that hit one of the towers on the World Trade Center. The FBI is here, as you can see. They had roped this area off. They were taking photographs and securing this area just prior to that huge explosion that we all heard and felt. We'll try and talk to some of these guys. Can you tell me what you saw, what you heard? You all right?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Where were you, sir, when that happened?
Right on the street.
What did you see? What did you hear?
It felt like another plane coming. Everybody took cover to run. We ran down the subway, but the dust followed us down there.
Were there a lot of people in the subway?
No, not that many, because they already had evacuated before.
Did you see people, anyone in danger, anyone getting hit when this...
Not back there, yeah, but I was running. I mean, there was nothing you can do because you just saw the thing coming right over.
Have you seen, were you able to see the tower after?
No. Wait, what do you mean, since it happened now? Since the fire?
Look at this guy, look at this guy. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. The streets have been shut down. There was very little traffic on the streets except for emergency vehicles going one way or the other. So there was not a lot of vehicle traffic in this area, but there were a lot of pedestrians on almost every single corner taking photographs and just looking at the building, which was still smoking and still on fire. A lot of police officers at the
fire officials up there that were right near the building.
Where were you when the explosion occurred, when the plane hit the building?
I was. I saw it from my office, as a matter of fact, down the Lower East Side.
So... You came here?
Yes.
To check it out?
Can help. No. What do you mean? To see if we can help, but this is...
Yeah. This poor woman. Wow.
Rick Leventhal is the one reporting on the ground. He's not able to hear me at this moment. But Rick...
Just the sound of a plane.
Sergeant!
All right. What are you guys doing right now? What's your assignment? What's your assignment?
Help people.
Are there a lot of injured?
Where were we down there?
The dust is still thick in the air. What that guy is covered with is this stuff that's all over the street. Just thick. Soot, ash, just came roaring down here in a huge cloud from the World Trade Center. You see, this... Are you able to talk? Can we just talk to you about what happened?
I was upset when we exploded.
You were right there at the building?
Yes, a lot of people trapped.
You're right, Chris.
A lot of people trapped. EMT. Guy needs help.
Rick Leventhal is not able to hear me, but from his vantage point on the ground, I think it's not clear to him what's fairly clear to us,
looks like here.
Our vantage point from the helicopter, that the top of Tower 1, One World Trade Center, has literally crumbled. I can't guess how many floors, perhaps 30, perhaps 40.
The tower stuff is what I think 107 stories tall, Tower 1 and Tower 2, one in the south end, one in the north end. It appears that the first plane that hit the one in the north end, that has the restaurant, here? Windows in the World upstairs, and then the south towers appears to be the one that was hit the second time. That has the observation deck, that is a obviously popular tourist attraction for people. So clearly, as we see, a pandemonium, but you know, the FBI and the New York City Police Department have the Joint Terrorist Task Force. They have obviously experience with this. They were able to solve the others, and I'm confident, and we should be confident that.
Let's go to Brian Wilson now. He's at the in Washington. Brian, is there a report about the Pentagon?
Well, I can't tell you about that, but I was just here in front of the Capitol, which, by the way, has been evacuated. And back toward the Supreme Court area, we just heard a low, muffled thud. It sounded like a small explosion. Sirens are going off around this city like you cannot believe. And just overhead a moment ago, something I have never seen in Washington in the 16 years I've been here, military jets are now patrolling the skies over Washington, D.C. We'll try to find out more about that explosion, but it was a low thud, and I'm now seeing that there is a great deal of activity over toward the direction of the Supreme Court.
All right.
Back to you, John.
Britt Hume is with us. Britt?
John, I'm looking now on one of our remote cameras here at a picture of the scene at the Pentagon. This is a picture looking down Interstate 395, which is, you probably know, John, is a major thoroughfare in and out of Washington that is used by commuters every day in large numbers. And we're getting a sense that from a reporter out there at the scene has just said that there's been another loud bang out there, whether that is a further explosion initiated in an attack or whether it is simply a secondary blast, the result of the continuing fire. But the situation there at the Pentagon continues to evolve. We'll keep you posted.
All right. Britt Hume in Washington, thank you. Our Rick Leventhal is on the ground in Lower Manhattan, where these scenes of chaos and utter confusion
are just mind-numbing. Rick, go ahead. Rick is not able to hear me, but this is the scene in Lower Manhattan where the upper floors of the World Trade Center, Tower 1, apparently have completely collapsed.
5 blocks from the World Trade Center, and we were standing here when there was some sort of collapse or explosion, and everyone started running in this direction. Police officers, pedestrians, EMTs, everybody came running this way. I saw a woman pushing a baby carriage, running for her life, and right behind them was a huge cloud of billowing smoke and ash and debris coming this way. The smoke is obviously cleared somewhat. Ma'am, she's with DCPI. Can you talk to us for just a second? Bring us up to speed. Obviously, people have their hands full out here. It's not easy getting anyone to talk.
Hey, Rick.
Yeah, tell me where you were, what happened, what did you see, what did you hear?
First, I went on Canal Street, I saw the fire. I saw the two buildings. I'm thinking it was a bomb because two of them. Anyway, when I got there, I tried to save people because I'm a doctor. When I tried to save people, the moment we heard a big explosion coming down, everything just went black. Everything came down, glass started popping. People got hurt, stuff went on top of them. And it was a big explosion. Everything got dark, real dark, like snow. You can see behind me, oh, this is not snow. This is all from the building. It was a terrible nightmare.
Where exactly were you standing when this happened?
I was standing right in front of the World Trade Center.
So you were down the block here? And
right
you came
there.
Running
in the middle, right? Yeah.
Did you get hurt at all?
No, not me.
Did you see anyone around you getting caught up in it?
Yeah, I was with the firemen. We got hurt. We all went inside to this dark. We was inside the building where everything happened, but we came out alive.
What's your name?
My name is Dr. Angel.
Were you able to assist anyone before this happened?
Yes, I did. I help a lot of patients. A lot of them.
Well, there are a lot more people that need help now.
Need help,
so if you're capable, maybe you should.
Yes, I'm gonna go back. I lost my ID, but I try to go back.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks a lot for talking to us.
Thanks.
All right, that's what Rick Leventhal has for us down in Lower Manhattan, where chaos and utter confusion reigns. This is clearly a national catastrophe. There will be some response from the White House. Let's go to Wendell Golder, who was traveling with the president in Sarasota, Florida, and find out what the latest is there. Wendell?
John, the president left Sarasota, Florida. Air Force One took off just a short while ago. Mr. Bush returning to Washington to convene a meeting of his national security advisors, including the vice president, the heads of the CIA, the National Security Agency, and the FBI, and also New York Governor Pataki. It is unclear now whether that meeting will be held at the White House or elsewhere, given the explosion just a short distance away from the White House on the other side of the old executive office building and the evacuation of the White House itself. Mr. Bush cut short a two-day trip here in Florida that was focused on education after the two attacks on the Twin Towers in New York. He was briefed by his national security advisor, Condoleezza Rice, who phoned him after the first attack. Mr. Bush was actually reading to some children when the second attack occurred. Chief of Staff Andy Card interrupted him, told him about the attack. It was clear at that point we were dealing with terrorists. Mr. Bush cut short his trip and flew back to Washington. John?
All right, Wendell Golder, thank you. Just wanted to update you that some of the hospitals in New York are already at capacity, not accepting any new patients. There could be tens of thousands of injuries. Let's listen in to what Rick Leventhal is learning down in Lower Manhattan.
We're lying down. And then I looked up, and I saw this huge plume of smoke, and the tower just crumbling. And it just turned into a huge plume of smoke, and next thing you know, there's smoke in one tower. And that's what we're seeing right here. So, and obviously, the people are worried about the press agents and everybody else that went the other way, as everybody else went this way.
When you saw this collapse taking place, could you see if there were a lot of people on the ground near the building as it
was
happening?
No, I was further north than you were, but I was dead looking at 6th Avenue, the view you see of both towers as you come down 6th Avenue.
Right.
So, and most of this fallout stops about 4 blocks back.
Give me a look down this way, Pat. You know, it does sort of look like beyond a few blocks down, it looks almost clear. But it's anything but over here.
I live at 25 Long Street, a couple of blocks from here. I'm all the time hanging out in the corner on the liquor store this morning. I saw the plane coming this way, but it was actually directly to the building.
Was this the first plane or the second plane?
That was the first plane. The second plane, it's just no second plane. It was a bomb. Bombed another building, not second plane. That was a bomb. Who said the second plane?
That's what we're told. The second plane, we saw it on television.
Oh, everything.
All right. Thanks a lot. This is...
In case you're just joining us, this is the aftermath of a horrific event that began unfolding about an hour and 20 minutes ago. A jet plane slammed into the side of Tower 2 of the World Trade Center. Then a few minutes later, another jet slammed into Tower 1. The second Tower 1, I should say, the upper floors have collapsed. They're absolutely gone.
I was in the restroom. There was a big shaking. Some of the ceilings collapsed. Looks like there was a fire in the elevator shafts, and they brought everyone down and started bringing everybody down the stairs.
So you came down from the 77th floor.
77th floor, down the stairs.
You came down the stairs.
Yes.
What was happening around you? Was people screaming?
No, people were pretty calm. When we got down to 6th floor, there was like another shake or another explosion. Everyone started panicking, but everybody was really calm, and the police and firemen were very helpful.
Which of the two towers were you in?
One. Trade Center 1.
All right. And when you got to the ground, then what?
It's just like, it's like rubble and dust, like inches thick, and like paper everywhere, and they just moved us out.
How many people do you think were in the building on the floors that were affected? What do you think?
I mean, I'm one office out of 20 on that floor, so I have no idea.
How far above you or below you was the impact?
I think it was above us. I don't know how many floors. We saw it on TV, but I don't know.
What's the first thing you thought when you heard it?
Had to call my wife.
Did you? Were you able to?
Yeah, I got through a phone line. I called her. I'm talking to you because I'm hoping she's watching so she knows I'm okay.
What's your name?
My name is Matthew Gard.
Folks, clearly America is under attack. We can only hope that it's over, at least for now. Our David Schuster is in Washington, where there have been one, perhaps two explosions at the Pentagon. David, what can you tell us?
John, I'm actually in our office here at the Pentagon, and according to counterintelligence sources, they confirm that it was a plane that crashed into the south end of the Pentagon near the helipad. This is a route that commercial aircraft flying into National Airport, which is just a few miles away, they take sometimes on final approach as they come to the airport. But again, intelligence sources, counterintelligence sources confirming that it was a plane that crashed on the side of the Pentagon. Now, here in our Pentagon office, producer Chris Wright says that there was no shaking of the building or even sounds. Of course, the Pentagon is built to withstand attacks perhaps like this one. But we are getting reports from eyewitnesses who were on Highway 110, which is just west of the Pentagon. One eyewitness claiming that he saw a U.S. Air 737 plane headed toward...
All right, let's listen in now to WTTG's coverage there outside the Pentagon. This is coming to you from the Washington, D.C. area.
Okay, thank you. Hello?
The Pentagon, the world's largest office building, being evacuated. Britt Hume, our Washington managing editor, is still with us. Britt, go ahead.
Well, John, what you're seeing there is that is the interstate, or the Route 395, used to be known as the Shirley Highway, that comes up into Washington. As I mentioned earlier, a familiar commuter route. And what you're seeing there are the military personnel evacuating the building. Some, as you know, as we noted just a minute ago, or as you could see just a minute ago, were on the run. Now, we have, John, from sources, intelligence sources, what may be a claim of responsibility here. Now, I want to caution you before I note this, that at times like these, all sorts of claims are made. So this needs to be treated with some caution. But some intelligence sources are now saying that the Democratic Front for the Liberation of Palestine is claiming credit. In the meantime, however, the Israeli government is said by sources to believe that Osama bin Laden is responsible for the operation. And those two organizations are related, but they are not exactly the same. I suspect, John, before all is said and done, we will hear more on that aspect of all this. But obviously that is something that we're all keeping an eye on to see if some kind of authenticatable or credible claim of responsibility for these astonishing attacks is made that we can believe. Again, you're looking again at the interstate road, Route 395 that runs down past the Pentagon. That is just, of course, across the river from Washington, D.C. And the smoke you're seeing is indeed from the area out by the helipad, which can be seen by drivers as they go by the Pentagon. and you're seeing the smoke from it. It appeared from some pictures we saw earlier, John, of the building itself, that while it was clearly damaged and in the area where the hit was very badly damaged, it did not look like the damage to the overall building, which is massive, was all that extensive.
Right. Well, that is perhaps a touch of good news. Britt Hume, thanks very much. Let's go back to our man in Lower Manhattan, Rick Leventhal, who is, again, not able to hear us, but trying to bring you from the ground the perspective of what he witnessed, felt, and heard. And I think Rick is not clearly aware, as we are, that the upper floors of Tower 1 of the World Trade Center have collapsed completely.
And, you know, it felt like a bomb hit or a plane hit or something like that. But the whole floor
plane did hit.
Yeah, and then we looked out the window. All we saw was debris all over the place. But we thought the building was going to topple over. It was going so...
Well, one of them did.
We were in Tower 1. We made it out.
Well, you're a lucky man.
Thank you very much. Okay.
All right. Take care.
Clearly, this is a nationwide catastrophe, but folks, phone lines in New York are virtually shut down, so you're not going to be able to call your loved ones. If you have any other way, perhaps email, if you have any other way of contacting your loved ones, try and do it without using the telephone, because telephone lines in New York are at gridlock right now. Let's listen in again to this eyewitness.
I have a lot of faith in God, and I hope a lot of other people made it out the building as I did.
All right, thank you. Tell me what you saw. Stop and talk to us. Where were you?
Top of the roof, 25 Park Place. Me and a super heard the loud noise from a jet. We look up and we see this big jet, like a 737 or a 727.
It was a 757?
About that, it was a big jet.
Yeah.
We saw it come just looking like it sideways. At first, we thought it was just going to try to miss it. Bang! Right into the middle of it, like around the 70th floor. And then half hour later, we see the second one bang into it. We're on the roof of it. We're a block away. I mean,
what's going through your mind when you see this happen?
You see bodies flying out of the sky and you can't do nothing about it. You tell me what you think. I mean, my heart's in my mouth. I mean, I pray for these people. There's no words to describe what's going on out there. I mean, you see bodies just coming a half hour later, still coming out of the goddamn sky. Devastating. I can't imagine anything worse than this. There's got to be... I can't imagine. You know everybody on the plane must have died. The floor, I got friends of mine on 104th floor, friends on other buildings. I just spoke to one of my friends a half hour prior to that, getting ready to go upstairs to go to work. I mean, I've seen a lot of construction accidents. I've seen a lot of bad things happen. I've never seen a jet fall out of the sky into a building, no less once, but twice. Devastating.
I want to bring into the conversation General Al Haig, the former Secretary of State. General Haig, at a time like this, how does America respond prudently, with the proper amount of caution, and yet with whatever force needs to be applied?
Well, first, we have to know the full limits of this tragedy, and it's unprecedented, of course. But we have to stay above all united and calm and ready to take resolute action, which sometimes we have failed to do in the recent past, when the perpetrators are uncovered, and we have many, many indicators of precisely who they are. This was too broadly based a terrorist act to be just a few crazies. This is a terrorist movement, and we know where they are located today. And obviously, as a nation, we're going to have to take action against them.
But clearly that action is going to be some days, if not weeks or months away.
Oh, it has to be very carefully assessed before any action is taken, of course. And we have to be reasonably assured that those that we are moving against are the perpetrators. And I think we know where to center our look. All we have to do is look at the world today with the Palestinian and bin Laden groups.
Who are the terrorists that you think are the most likely suspects?
Well, I'm not going to speculate because I don't have inside knowledge, and it would be rather foolish to do that. But I do think we have the means to assess it, and there will be many statements, many parties claiming credit, somehow already have done so. for the World Trade Center bombings.
Clearly, with what's going on in the skies, where even apparently innocent civilian airliners can be employed as weapons of terrorists, what is our military doing right now, General Haig? What should they be doing?
Well, they have to be on full alert, and I would have hoped that we would get some aircraft up in the air to enforce the ban on flights. That has to be done if it has not already been done, and I'm sure it has been.
We saw the same thing happen.
All right, General Alexander Haig, former Secretary of State, thanks for being with us. Rick Leventhal once again with our producer Carlos Van Meek is in Lower Manhattan. You cannot even see the sky there because of the soot, the ash, the crumbled concrete that is continuing to rain down after one of the two towers of the World Trade Center, the upper floors, collapsed. This after this apparent terrorist attack this morning that sent a large jetliner, perhaps two large jetliners, slamming into the Twin Towers.
Come over this way, Pat.
You can see the chaos.
Bill, we can see the top of the building from here. Oh, yeah. Oh, there it goes. There it goes. There it goes. There it goes.
Oh. When it comes down, we're...
All right. We do need to put it down now. I think we need to put it down now. Here we go.
To American Airlines is confirming that its flight 11 from Boston to Los Angeles was hijacked today, and that its plane was the first one involved in this attack on the World Trade Center. Brian Wilson is on the phone with us now from the Washington area. Brian, what's the latest?
Well, I wanted to tell you, John, that I'm in front of the Capitol, and a moment ago, police officers ran up to us and ordered us off of the grounds and told us, and I quote, there is a plane that has been hijacked. It is 20 minutes south of Washington. This was about 10 minutes ago, and is headed this way. They are taking ultimate precautions. Now, as you know, in these chaotic situations, sometimes information gets twisted. But police officers here are saying that they believe there is a hijacked plane now headed toward Washington. And that's all the information I can give you at this moment.
All right, Brian, we had a report from you earlier that military aircraft are circling the Capitol. Is that still the case?
They have not seen them in the last few minutes, but there were military jets above the Capitol a few moments ago. Of course, you know, John, this has been the nightmare scenario for security experts in Washington, that many of the buildings in Washington, very visible from the air, are very vulnerable. In fact, the flight path to National Airport runs literally 6 blocks from the White House. So this has always been a big concern. But again, to repeat the information that I have here, Capitol Police have completely evacuated the grounds of the Capitol, and they have told us, quote, there is a plane that's been hijacked. It is south of Washington, headed this way. Now, the reliability of the information I cannot give you, but that's what police have told us.
All right, Brian Wilson, thank you, and let us know if you come up with any new information. It is hard to describe, folks. The pictures show what has happened in Lower Manhattan, but we don't have a handle yet on the devastation. I remind you again that there are perhaps 50,000 people who work in the World Trade Centers. The two towers, and those towers are virtually gone now after this apparent terrorist strike earlier this morning. Mm-hmm. How many of those 50,000 people they were able to get out, we don't yet know.
That is the heart of not just the financial district, but many national, international corporations. I mean, look at that smoke, the dust, that plume that has just engulfed blocks and blocks of Lower Manhattan. You have the Wall Street Journal down there, many, many corporations and offices. So I think we must say a prayer, and our heart certainly goes out to everyone who's there right at this moment, as well as the New York City Emergency Command Center is at the foot of the World Trade Center. So it is, John, important for us to take a moment to say a prayer. Remember these people and hope that God gives us grace.
And take a look at the poignant picture you see there. The Statue of Liberty, folks, is still standing. And I think that's important to remember at a time like this. The World Trade Center has collapsed, and the casualty figure we cannot even begin to guess at this point. Our David Lee Miller is with us, we're glad to know, from the City Hall area. David Lee, what can you tell us?
John, just seconds ago there was a huge explosion, and it appears right now the second World Trade Tower has just collapsed. The debris and the smoke is so thick where I am that, again, you cannot see the World Trade Center, even though we're just a few blocks away. But it appears the entire building has collapsed. People are literally running through the streets. They are running from Center Street in Lower Manhattan, trying to get away from the smoke, which is absolutely choking. It is difficult to breathe. There are people in front of me wearing gas masks. The cell phone service is virtually non-existent. There are lines of people to use the few pay phones that are available, and people are literally hysterical in the streets, worried about loved ones who were in these two buildings. Moments before the building collapsed, I was outside, and after the first collapse, the authorities began to move people away from the perimeter. They feared that the second building would collapse. They warned people of that, and they began to push people away, including reporters, including myself. And right now, there is nothing here but shock on the streets of Lower Manhattan. John?
All right, David Lee, stay safe. We are looking now at pictures, this of the second of the two World Trade Center towers collapsing after that awful event. Let's just recap what's happened so far today. Two planes, one of them at least apparently hijacked, an American Airlines plane, slammed into the side of the World Trade Center a little before 9 a.m. Then, as we watch now this picture, a second plane slammed into the second tower of the World Trade Center. That tower collapsed first. It burned for a while and then collapsed. And you can see these pictures as that tower collapses. Not long ago, the second of the two towers collapsed. Now, again, there are perhaps 50,000 people who work in these buildings on any given day. Not all of them would have been at work yet, but clearly a great and monumental loss of life. Also in Washington, the Pentagon has been under attack. At least one plane slammed into the Pentagon. David Schuster is an eyewitness to that, and is joining us now. David?
John, the Pentagon is now being evacuated. You may be able to hear some of the sirens going off in the Pentagon. There's smoke billowing down the hallway. Eyewitnesses describe a U.S. Air 737 plane on what seemed to be headed towards National Airport at approximately 9:40 this morning when it then crashed into the south end of the Pentagon. The eyewitnesses describe a huge ball of fire, the plane apparently hitting by the helipad, which is near Highway 110 and Highway 395, the main arteries into the city. There have been unconfirmed reports of second explosions here at the Pentagon. We have not confirmed that, but again, the counterintelligence sources confirming that it was a commercial aircraft apparently hijacked that crashed into the Pentagon. The building has been evacuated. There are reports of safety precautions being taken at the Central Intelligence Agency, at the National Security Agency. Capitol Hill has been evacuated. The White House has been evacuated. But here at the Pentagon, I was actually on in a taxi cab on Highway 110 when suddenly smoke started billowing out of the Pentagon. Very quickly, you heard ambulances and fire trucks headed that direction. Chris Wright, our producer at the Pentagon, who was on the sort of the northern side of the Pentagon, says he could not hear the explosion or feel any aftershocks or anything. Obviously, the Pentagon, a very large building meant to withstand terrorist attacks or any sort of other attack. But again, eyewitnesses describing a U.S. Air 737 crashing into the Pentagon at approximately 9:40 this morning. The Pentagon, except for some personnel, the Pentagon being evacuated, and we can actually smell some of the smoke now in the hallways here on the north side. John.
David Schuster in Washington, thank you. Britt Hume is with us once again, our managing editor in Washington. Britt, chaos and pandemonium, but how do we measure the response here?
Well, John, one thing worth noting is that you're going to hear all kinds of further warnings at a time like this, and precautions are being taken. We've just learned, for example, that Police have been sent to Union Station. A bomb squad has been sent to Union Station, which, as you know, John, is located just a couple of blocks from the Capitol. In fact, it's just adjacent to our Fox News bureau here in Washington. One senses that there will be many squads and many alerts and many more than there will be things found, but nobody's taken any chances in this town at this hour after the astonishing events that have unfolded so far here today. And, of course, you've been seeing the pictures and hearing the reports from down there at the Pentagon. Who would have imagined such a thing? It appears that the damage to the Pentagon, as bad as it was, we don't have any sense of the whether there was loss of life or how extensive it was. If that is an attack that looks like it could have been very much worse indeed had the airplane hit in a more central area of that building. So we're now watching, of course, the Capitol building with considerable urgency. It's right out the window of our bureau here. Because, as Brian Wilson reported, police on Capitol Hill are evacuating the place, saying that there was an airplane 20 minutes away, apparently, or they had reason to believe that it was headed this way. Now, we know their jets have been scrambled and have been in the air. It is hard to know whether a plane would ever be allowed to get close to Washington, D.C. in the air with all the airports closed at the moment or not, but that obviously is something we're watching with considerable interest and worry here.
All right. Britt, I just want to update you while you've been talking. Authorities at the Somerset County Airport confirm a large plane crash about 80 miles southeast of Pittsburgh. We're trying to deal with only facts today and not rumors, because there are plenty of those swirling around, but we do have a confirmation of apparently another plane crash about 80 miles southeast of Pittsburgh. You've got to assume that it's related to all of these goings on, but we don't know any more information than that. Rick Leventhal, we are glad to know, is still with us in Lower Manhattan. Rick?
Yeah, John, we basically ran about five blocks down Church Street north away from the World Trade Center. As that second tower was collapsing, a similar scene to the first one, where huge clouds of smoke began billowing down the street at us. And in fact, because of the location of the tower, it actually came down cross streets. So as we were running north on Church, we were passing cross streets, and the black clouds of debris and smoke were coming towards us down the side streets as well. So we were about six blocks north of where we were before. Things have settled down a bit now that the smoke is starting to clear. We've seen more injured coming our way, and there's a lot of police activity on the street. But a similar scene to what we saw earlier as the first tower collapsed, only this time people were ready for it, or more ready for it, and reacted swiftly. John?
All right. Rick Leventhal, thanks very much. Again, there is so much going on. It's difficult to update you, but you're looking at the cloud of dust, debris, smoke, and probably crumbled concrete over Lower Manhattan. The twin towers of the World Trade Center are essentially gone, 110 stories each, more or less. They are gone now. All of this taking place within the last 2 hours after they were struck by two airplanes. American Airlines is now confirming that its Flight 11 from Boston to Los Angeles was hijacked, and apparently one of that plane was one of the two that slammed into one of the World Trade Center towers. We don't know anything more about the loss of life, but it is going to be considerable. David Schuster is with us now, again, not far from the Pentagon. David?
Well, John, I'm actually inside the Pentagon in our office at the Outer Ring, and again, we can confirm for you that intelligence sources are telling us that it was a U.S. Air 737 that crashed into the south end of the Pentagon at approximately 9:40 this morning. The Pentagon has been evacuated, but we do want to point out that at parts of the Pentagon, key personnel are still here, including the National Military Command Center. This is in the basement of the Pentagon, an sort of a bunker type of a facility that is essentially designed to withstand direct attacks on the Pentagon. And we're told that officials there are still in that particular part of the Pentagon, are coordinating any possible U.S. response, as well as trying to gather intelligence information, counterintelligence information, and essentially act as a clearinghouse from all the various intelligence agencies in Washington. There have been reports of precautions being taken at
at the Central Intelligence Agency in McLean, Virginia, at the National Security Agency. But again, here at the Pentagon, while most of the Pentagon and its 23,000 employees have been evacuated, the National Military Command Center at the base of the Pentagon is still here. You can actually smell the smoke now, and virtually all of the hallways at the Pentagon and fire trucks and sirens going off on the south side. But where we are on the northern side of the Pentagon in one of the outer rings, my producer Chris Wright says he could not feel any of the aftershocks of the explosion. There was no noise when the plane apparently crashed this morning at 9:40. But again, most of the Pentagon has been cleared out. There's smoke pretty thick here in the halls. But some officials, of course, still at the Pentagon in the offices that are designed for some of these very scenarios. John?
All right, David Schuster at the Pentagon. Thanks very much. It appears, and we had the report from our Brian Wilson in Washington not too long ago, it appears Brian told us that that there was a report of a hijacked plane south of Washington, D.C., and headed toward the nation's capital. Now, it appears that that is the flight that went down about 80 miles southeast of Pittsburgh. We told you that there was a confirmation from the Somerset County Airport. Authorities are saying that that may be the plane that Brian Wilson spoke of. Let's take you back again to New York and an absolutely horrific scene in Lower Manhattan, the entire lower end of the island covered in smoke and floating debris. And what's missing? The twin towers of the World Trade Center, 110 stories high. You are looking at the pictures from the last half hour or so as the first tower simply collapsed on itself. This, and look at the debris raining down on other buildings. Imagine the horror. Now, here comes the second tower. This is the one that had the TV antenna on top, simply imploding on itself. 110 stories, the workplace of some 50,000 people. America, the loss of life here is going to be tremendous.
Sonny, are you still on the line with us as we wait for the mayor? We're just waiting for Mayor Giuliani to join us by telephone for an update. Yes, we are.
Okay. All right.
Are we still waiting for the mayor?
Okay. You are about to be on with the mayor.
Okay.
Pat?
Mayor Giuliani, it's Pat Kernan. I'm with Sharon Diesenhaus here. I wonder if you could give us an update of the emergency operations right now.
The first thing I'd like to do is take this opportunity to tell everyone to remain calm. And to the extent that they can, to evacuate Lower Manhattan. Walk north. If you're in Lower Manhattan, walk north and get above Canal Street. Mm-hmm. Things will be a lot safer. We have as many police personnel and fire personnel as we can spare down there, and they'll help direct you out. But try to get out of Lower Manhattan.
Right, Giuliani, we should stress, is there any immediate threat? This should be an orderly, calm evacuation at this point.
Right now, everyone should, other than Lower Manhattan, where people should evacuate, and the police and fire will help you, everybody else should remain calm. They should remain at work or in school. We don't want them all out there crowding things and making it difficult, because we're going to be moving people around to hospitals all over the city, and we need as much order as we possibly can get.
Mayor Giuliani, do you have any sense of the order of magnitude of injuries and deaths?
I do not, except to say that it's horrendous. I was down there and watched it and saw people jumping out of the World Trade Center. It's a horrible, horrible situation. I think right now what we have to focus on is saving as many of the people as we can save at this point and trying to bring some order to this. And then maybe later on we'll have a better sense of the magnitude of it. We have a lot of police officers, a lot of firefighters, a lot of emergency personnel that were down there. And the thing to do now is to evacuate Lower Manhattan in an orderly way. Just get above Canal Street, and then this way we'll have the space and the room for the ambulances and everyone else to operate. We're going to try to get subways down into Lower Manhattan so that people can take the subway out, the subway, and we should have further information about that in a little while. That might help alleviate some of the pressure in Lower Manhattan. We've been in contact with the White House and asked them to secure the space around the city. They've been doing that for at least the last hour and a half. I've spoken to the governor several times, and the governor and I agree that the election today should be canceled.
Yeah.
Mayor Giuliani, have
the election will as soon as we can, we'll figure out an alternative date for it, but we need all the police personnel and everything else that we can to focus on the evacuation effort.
Absolutely. Mayor Giuliani, do you have any sense of what the status of the bunker is? Is it at all operational?
That is right in the middle of both the police department and that area is all cordoned off. We've moved city government to the firehouse in Greenwich Village. That's where I'm operating from right now, and we'll probably operate from a police facility in the area of Greenwich Village shortly.
Mayor Giuliani,
everything in Lower Manhattan, except for the people that are there for rescue efforts, has been removed. We removed everyone from City Hall. We removed everyone from the police department, other than the most necessary communications personnel, and we've moved up above Canal Street. And that's what we're urging everyone to do. We literally walked out and helped walk people out. And we're urging them all to get above Canal Street so that we have the fewest number of people down there possible and just those down there for the rescue effort.
By faceless coward.
Earth.
And freedom will be defended.
Earth.
I want to reassure the American people that the full resources of the federal government are working to assist local authorities to save lives and to help the victims of these attacks. Make no mistake, the United States will hunt down and punish those responsible for these cowardly acts. I've been in regular contact with the Vice President, Secretary of Defense, the National Security Team, and my cabinet. We have taken all appropriate security precautions to protect the American people. Our military at home and around the world is on high alert status, and we have taken the necessary security precautions to continue the functions of your government. We have been in touch with the leaders of Congress and with world leaders to assure them that we will do whatever is necessary to protect America and Americans. I ask the American people to join me in saying a thanks for all the folks who have been fighting hard to rescue our fellow citizens, and to join me in saying a prayer for the victims and their families. The resolve of our great nation is being tested, but make no mistake, we will show the world that we will pass this test. God bless. Good evening. Today, our fellow citizens, our way of life, our very freedom came under attack in a series of deliberate and deadly terrorist acts. The victims were in airplanes or in their offices, secretaries, businessmen and women, military and federal workers, moms and dads, friends and neighbors. Thousands of lives were suddenly ended by evil, despicable acts of terror. The pictures of airplanes flying into buildings, fires burning, huge structures collapsing, have filled us with disbelief, terrible sadness, and a quiet, unyielding anger. These acts of mass murder were intended to frighten our nation into chaos and retreat. But they have failed. Our country is strong. A great people has been moved to defend a great nation. Terrorist attacks can shake the foundations of our biggest buildings, but they cannot touch the foundation of America. These acts shatter steel, but they cannot dent the steel of American resolve. America was targeted for attack because we're the brightest beacon for freedom and opportunity in the world, and no one will keep that light from shining. Today, our nation saw evil, the very worst of human nature, and we responded with the best of America, with the daring of our rescue workers, with the caring for strangers and neighbors who came to give blood and help in any way they could. Immediately following the first attack, I implemented our government's emergency response plans. Our military is powerful, and it's prepared. Our emergency teams are working in New York City and Washington, D.C. to help with local rescue efforts. Our first priority is to get help to those who have been injured and to take every precaution to protect our citizens at home and around the world from further attacks. The functions of our government continue without interruption. Federal agencies in Washington, which had to be evacuated today, are reopening for essential personnel tonight and will be open for business tomorrow. Our financial institutions remain strong, and the American economy will be open for business as well. The search is underway for those who are behind these evil acts. I've directed the full resources of our intelligence and law enforcement communities to find those responsible and to bring them to justice. We will make no distinction between the terrorists who committed these acts and those who harbor them. I appreciate so very much the members of Congress who have joined me in strongly condemning these attacks. And on behalf of the American people, I thank the many world leaders who have called to offer their condolences and assistance. America and our friends and allies join with all those who want peace and security in the world. And we stand together to win the war against terrorism. Tonight I ask for your prayers for all those who grieve, for the children whose worlds have been shattered, for all whose sense of safety and security has been threatened. And I pray they will be comforted by a power greater than any of us, spoken through the ages in Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. This is a day when all Americans from every walk of life unite in our resolve for justice and peace. America has stood down enemies before, and we will do so this time. None of us will ever forget this day, yet we go forward to defend freedom and all that is good and just in our world. Thank you. Good night, and God bless America.
To practice and exercise our constitutional rights. And as such, tonight I believe this is the first public assembly of its size since the tragedy of Tuesday. Make no mistake about what, and make no mistake about the message this public assembly is sending to terrorism tonight. And that message, quite simply, is that we will not live our lives in fear. The citizens of Houston are not afraid. The citizens of Texas are indeed not afraid. And by God, the citizens of the United States are not afraid. For we are a proud people, proud of who we are, proud of our nation, and damn proud to be Americans. We will fight for our rights, and we will fight for our great nation. America's heart has been wounded, but her spirit shines as a beacon of freedom that never has been nor ever will be extinguished. The World Wrestling Federation would like to thank each and every one of you here in the Compact Center tonight. The World Wrestling Federation would like to thank each and every one of you watching on television. We would like to thank you for the honor and privilege of performing before you here tonight.
Thank you all.
Sorry, go ahead, Paul.
Lots of boom.
Go ahead, got it.
I want you all to know it can't go any louder. I want you all to know that America today is on bended knee in prayer for the people whose lives were lost here, for the workers who work here, for the families who mourn. This nation stands with the good people of New York City and New Jersey and Connecticut as we mourn the loss of thousands of our citizens. I can hear you. I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... these buildings down will hear all of us soon. The nation sends its love.
Harry.
And compassion.
No, sorry.
To everybody who is here.
Line on that one.
Thank you for your hard work. Thank you for making the nation proud. And may God bless America.
All right, let's get back a little bit, folks. Give me some room.
Welcome to the Late Show. This is our first show on the air since New York and Washington were attacked. And I need to ask your patience and indulgence here because I want to say a few things. And believe me, sadly, I'm not going to be saying anything new. And in the past week, others have said what I will be saying here tonight far more eloquently than I'm equipped to do. But if we are going to continue to do shows, I just need to hear myself talk for a couple of minutes, and so that's what I'm going to do here. It's terribly sad here in New York City. We've lost 5,000 fellow New Yorkers, and you can feel it. You can feel it. You can see it. It's terribly sad. Terribly, terribly sad. And watching all of this, I wasn't sure that I should be doing a television show, because for 20 years we've been in the city making fun of everything, making fun of the city, making fun of my hair, making fun of Paul, well. So to come to this circumstance that is so desperately sad, I don't trust my judgment in matters like this. But I'll tell you the reason that I am doing a show and the reason I am back to work is because of Mayor Giuliani. Very early on, after the attack, and how strange does it sound to invoke that phrase, after the attack, Mayor Giuliani encouraged us and here lately implored us to go back to our lives, go on living, continue trying to make New York City the place that it should be. And because of him, I'm here tonight. And I just want to say one other thing about Mayor Giuliani. As this began, and if you were like me, and in many respects, God, I hope you're not. But in this one small measure, if you're like me, and you're watching, and you're confused, and depressed, and irritated, and angry, and full of grief, and you don't know how to behave, and you're not sure what to do, and you don't really, because we've never been through this before, all you had to do at any moment was watch the mayor. Watch how this guy behaved. Watch how this guy conducted himself. Watch what this guy did. Listen to what this guy said. Rudolph Giuliani is the personification of courage.
And it's very simple. There is only one requirement for any of us, and that is to be courageous. Because courage, as you might know, defines all other human behavior. And I believe, because I've done a little of this myself, pretending to be courageous is just as good as the real thing. He's an amazing man, and far, far better than we could have hoped for. To run the city in the midst of this obscene chaos and attack, and also demonstrate human dignity, my God, who can do that? That's a pretty short list. The 20 years that we've been here in New York City, we've worked closely with the police officers and the firefighters, and And fortunately, most of us don't really have to think too much about what these men and women do on a daily basis. And the phrase New York's finest and New York's bravest, you know, did it mean anything to us personally, firsthand? Well, maybe, hopefully, but probably not. But boy, it means something now, doesn't it? They put themselves in harm's way to protect people like us. And the men and women from the firefighters and the police department who are lost are going to be missed by this city for a very, very long time. And my hope for myself and everybody else, not only in New York but everywhere, is that we never, ever take these people for granted. Absolutely never take them for granted. I just want to go through this, and again, forgive me if this is more for me than it is for people watching. I'm sorry, but I have to go through this. The reason we were attacked, the reason these people are dead, these people are missing and dead, and they weren't doing anything wrong. They were living their lives. They were going to work. They were traveling. They were doing what they normally do. As I understand it, and my understanding of this is vague at best, another smaller group of people stole some airplanes and crashed them into buildings. And we're told that they were zealots fueled by religious fervor. And if you live to be 1,000 years old, will that make any sense to you? Will that make any goddamn sense? I'll tell you about a thing that happened last night. There's a town in Montana by the name of Choteau. It's about 100 miles south of the Canadian border. And I know a little something about this town, and it's 1,600 people. 1,600 people. And it's an ag business community, which means farming and ranching. And Montana's been in the middle of a drought for, I don't know, 3 years. And if you got no rain, you can't grow anything. And if you can't grow anything, you can't farm. And if you can't grow anything, you can't ranch because the cattle don't have anything to eat. And that's the way life is in this small town, 1,600 people. Last night at the high school auditorium in Choteau, Montana, they had a rally, home of the Bulldogs, by the way. They had a rally for New York City, and not just a rally for New York City, but a rally to raise money for New York City. And if that doesn't tell you everything you need to know about the spirit of the United States, then I can't help you. I'm sorry. And I have one more thing to say, and then thank God Regis is here, so we have something to make fun of. if you didn't believe it before, and it's easy to understand how you might have been skeptical on this point. If you didn't believe it before, you can absolutely believe it now. New York City is the greatest city in the world.
The last time we saw you was a week ago this morning when our lives seemed normal. Then the unthinkable happened.
A plane has crashed into one of the twin towers of the World Trade Center. You can see it now on the screen right there. And don't know what the intent was, whether it was deliberate or accidental.
Just then, our worst nightmare occurred. A second plane slammed into the South Tower. Now it was clear. This was a terrible act of terrorism. Then came the news that the Pentagon was hit. Still more bad news. Another hijacked plane had crashed in Pennsylvania, killing everybody on board. Today, the heroic effort continues. The death toll rises. But amid the despair, we continue to hope for signs of life from beneath the debris. Exhausted rescue workers refuse to give up. Our nation has never been more united. Across the country, Americans are pulling together. Everywhere you look, there are tremendous shows of support and patriotism and faith. It's truly overwhelming. Terrorists tried to tear us apart, but they failed. Instead, we as a nation have become stronger and have only been brought closer together.
Hi, everybody. It's Tuesday, September 18th, 2001. Seems like a year ago that we were with you, but it's only been a week, and what a week it's been. And incidentally, today is the beginning of the Jewish New Year, 5762. We wish everyone a Happy New Year, or Shanai Tova. I hope I got that
very
right.
Good.
So, good morning, Miss Kelly. Haven't
good
seen
morning.
You in a while.
I know.
Hasn't it been something?
I'm so glad to see you.
Nice
to
see you.
I am so glad to see everyone. Every day now, I have a renewed appreciation
of life
for humanity,
yeah,
and for life. And I am so thankful that we live in this great country.
Mm-hmm.
I am so proudly American. I am so proud.
A lot of people feel that way. Sometimes, unfortunately, it takes something like this catastrophe to drive it all home to us, what we really are all about and what we should be thankful for.
Yes.
You know, as the week progressed, I decided to make notes because I didn't know when we were going to come back, you know, and be on the show. I thought it'd be sooner than this, but this is an ongoing story, and so some of these things may sound superfluous, but I was really touched by, goes without saying, the police, the fighters, the steel workers, the construction guys, everybody who was down there at Ground Zero digging. I mean, their determination really gave all of us a lot of support in this time.
They are the greatest
human
beings alive. The greatest. When people are running out of a building, they are going in.
Boy, and the tragedies that happened, I mean, to have the fire chief and the commissioner and the chaplain. Here's a priest giving somebody last rites on the ground, and he gets hit by a falling body, and he dies as well. I mean, the stories are just endless. But I had a bunch of other thoughts as well. For example, the situation about knives. Well, you know, when they tightened security at the airport a few years ago, why didn't someone think about putting knives on the list of things they ban when you bought an airliner? Doesn't that make sense? Apparently, it didn't, because knives are allowed on, at least up to 4 inches. And they were quite a lethal weapon in this whole thing.
I can't imagine. You know, I have to believe, because my soul hurts, and I have to believe that at some point God stepped in and possibly took everyone on the plane before the reality of the situation could have hit them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Maybe it was adrenaline that was keeping them going, but maybe their souls were already in heaven, so they didn't have to suffer that way. Because I cannot imagine people being in an airplane knowing that it's headed for certain doom. My mind doesn't let me go there. And so I'm hoping that God stepped in and took their souls
Well, it's nice to think that maybe he did.
I hope so.
Yeah. Cell phones. You know, I don't own a cell phone. I just learned how to work one a couple weeks ago. Everybody in the world has got one. But cell phones came into their own in this story. Where else, if you're in a situation like this, are you ever going to get that last call to someone you love to tell them you love them before it's over? Or if you get into an emergency situation where your life is being threatened, that you could call someone and tell them what's happening to you.
Mm-hmm.
Unheard of before, and now pretty commonplace with the use of cell phones.
We actually, I went to the, we live across the street from a food emporium, and I went to get some bottled water and things, and I got down to the lobby of the building, and it's literally right across the street. I went back up to get my cell phone because I thought, well, if something happens, I want to be able to make that call. You know, I want to be able to either call for help or call to say goodbye. And so these are thoughts that we shouldn't have to live with, but we do now, and we do it united. And
yes. Keep your cell phone with you.
Yep.
Have you noticed all the flags, the American flags?
Yes.
You know, in this city where there are so many nationalities who live here, and all of them, and I admire their spirit, you know, for what their homeland used to be, and the way they wave their flags, it's kind of inspiring. But you rarely see the American flag until something like this happens, and now everywhere we look in New York, there are American flags, and it's good to see them. And incidentally, somebody told me yesterday, and we'll show you some film of our visit to the area where all this happened, that they would like to have more flags down there. Boy, they've got everything else, but there's a shortage of flags, believe
you
it or
really
not.
You really cannot find American flags
no,
now because everyone is so proudly waving them. We were driving home, and home to New Jersey, and we were driving down Route 4, and there was a family of four people on the side of the road, and the children had made a homemade banner that said, God bless America, and the parents were holding a flag.
Mm.
And it made everyone so proud and for a moment happy just to see this family for no other reason than to just try to inspire people to go on and to continue standing there on the side of the road. It was just amazing.
And speaking of flags, I guess this cover of Newsweek magazine is the best cover of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
The three firefighters here in New York, all grimy and blood spattered and dusty, and there they are raising the American flag. Sort of reminds you of the six Marines raising the flag on Iwo Jima during one of the bloodiest battles of World War II.
They're the greatest Americans.
And Mayor Giuliani, I mean, so much has been said about him, and when I first noticed him about, you know, 4 or 5 days ago running around inspiring the city, I just said what a giant he has become
in
the minds of all of us. Thank God he is still in office as we wind up this career.
You know, he seems to truly have a finger on the pulse of not only, you know, I'm speaking in terms of New York because here is where we are, and here is where I live during the week anyway. And Mayor Rudy has a finger on the pulse of New Yorkers, and I noticed that, you know, every 45 minutes or an hour, I would think, gosh, I feel a little unsettled. I wish there was some news conference, something telling us what is going on, and boom, Mayor Rudy would come on the air and reassure everyone. He is strength personified.
Yesterday in the stock exchange and the commodity exchange, he was making a tour, and all of a sudden he heard the crowd begin to chant, 4 more years. Four more years.
Yes.
A lot of New Yorkers would love to see that happen, but unfortunately there are term limits now, and so I don't think he can.
I don't think they should have that for...
Well, whatever. But George Bush was certainly impressed with him, and I think probably there might be a job for him in the administration after all of this is over. And finally, when I look out of the window at night now, the New York skyline, and you just see the Empire State Building there. It used to be in the background with those two giant towers. And all of a sudden, the Empire State Building looks pretty lonely out there in the darkness. So those are some of the observations that I had. And incidentally, President Bush, speaking of him, seems to get stronger with every television appearance that he makes. So that's good to know. Now, what do we have downtown? We have a young man by the name of Joe Torres, one of our reporters here at Channel 7 in New York City. He's on Canal Street, which is where the perimeter begins. You can't usually go beyond Canal Street if you're a reporter because there are so many people down there actually digging with their hands and shovels to get to the people that might be rescued, although you know, hopes are fading fast for those people. It's been a week now. But let's go to Joe Torres near Canal and Lafayette Street in downtown New York and see what's going on 1 week, almost 1 week from the day all this happened. Joe?
Regis, Kelly, good to see you. Good to hear you. And after circumstances that we've just experienced over the last week, that takes on a whole new meaning, just to bump into the street and say, good to see you, good to hear you. And as you'll see in just a little bit, because I'll show you a story that I experienced 1 week ago being down here as a reporter, it takes on a whole new meaning when someone walks up to you and says, how you doing? The genuine care and concern. We thought we'd be able to take you to Wall Street this morning, but as you can imagine, with the tight security from the police and the military police and the National Guard, they're watching everyone who gets into the restricted area of Lower Manhattan. So as far as we can get was Canal Street and Lafayette here. And you can see life goes on in this portion of Lower Manhattan. This is the heart of Chinatown for those of you watching from out of town. And I would talk to some of the people here to find out how they're doing. But as you might understand, there's a little bit of a language barrier. The traffic, obviously, much, much lighter than what you would expect. Canal Street is a major thoroughfare that gets you from one side of town to the other. A lot less traffic. And you know what? As we came down here, New York is a different place right now. I don't hear horns. I don't hear yelling. I don't hear screaming. I don't hear short tempers. What you see are people just walking around. And if you could read their minds, you get from them the sense that they're just happy to be here. At the same time, thinking of the thoughts and the feelings of the workers who are so diligently trying to do their best to get into the site and rescue and recovery and do whatever they can.
Well, Joe, I was down there.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was down there yesterday. I got the same sense that it's kind of like a different New York, at least for the time being. Is there anything new this morning going on news-wise?
In the sense, Regis, that the recovery and the rescue effort is ongoing, and I know and I understand that it's been a week now, and you talk to the firefighters, and we're nowhere near them because otherwise I'd have one here talk to you, and you can ask them questions directly. But you get the sense that the rescue and the recovery effort continues. Why so fervently? Here's the reason why. Miracles happen. And with that in mind, you move forward with every sense of passion, with every sense of speed that you can, because a miracle could exist. And well, and who knows, you may come across someone that is still hopefully
alive.
That's
absolutely right. That's why they continue to dig. Now, Joe, you have been there since the beginning of this story. As a matter of fact, you yourself had rather a close call, didn't you?
Had a very close call, Regis. We were, a lot of people forget, last Tuesday was election day in New York City. Mm-hmm. We were going to the polls to vote who would be the next mayor. So all the reporters at Channel 7 and all the stations throughout the city came to work in their red, white, and blue, ready for a long day to cover the election. And there on the assignment desk shortly before 9 o'clock, we heard, we saw, as you showed at the beginning, what happened. As a reporter, I grabbed my gear, I grabbed a cameraman. We came down and got here relatively quickly behind some police officers hurrying to the scene. Regis, Kelly, you know that as reporters, to document the story, we try and get as close as possible. And we can tell you, we got a little bit too close. Watch now, photographer Glenn Mayrose and I experiencing something that we won't soon forget. Makes your hair stand up on end, you get goosebumps. Let me just set the scene for you. Glenn and I were a block or two away. What you saw there was the collapse of the first tower that came down. We didn't know what was happening. No one in their right mind certainly would have thought that the building was going to come tumbling down, and what we sensed underground was rumbling.
getting louder and louder and louder and louder. And a police officer next to me dug her nails into my arm and said, Joe, what is it? What is it? What is it? I said, I don't know. We backed up against the wall because thought that would be the safest place. And one of the officers, FBI agent, Secret Service, said, underground, underground. And we thought that something was going to explode underground. We ran up Church Street, 5-6 blocks, Glenn just lugging his gear, exhausted. And the officers are jumping on the back of ambulances, of cars, of whatever you can get to get out of there so quickly. And I can tell you the fear of the unknown is what gripped us the most. We thought that the ground was going to explode below our feet. And I'm running up the street saying, dear Lord, please, please don't let this happen. We got 5-6 blocks away, extremely thankful, but at the same time almost guilty to be thankful because you're thinking of the thousands of other people who are still behind you. Made it, and you talked about the cell phones, spent the next hour or two trying to let our colleagues there know at Channel 7 that we were okay.
Yeah.
Just we couldn't get through on the phone. I couldn't get through to my wife. My cameraman couldn't get through to his family. The longest hour or two for our relatives, for our friends, for our loved ones who didn't hear from us. And when we finally got through, you can imagine the burst of tears, the emotions.
Sure.
Joe, it's amazing that Glenn had the presence of mind to turn around and get a clear shot of that cloud of dust just coming up the street at you. It's amazing.
Yes. You know, Kelly, there comes a point where you stop being a reporter and a cameraman and you start being a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And that point was right away, as soon as we knew something was terribly wrong. And Glenn, get out of here. Run. And as soon as we were able to outrun the cloud, which mm-hmm. is mushrooming behind us, I said to him, you know, are you okay? You think you're all right? Yes. Okay, at that point, turn around, get a shot of that cloud, and it's like a movie, you know, Die Hard is what the movie I often hear, where the cloud is literally coming at you.
Yeah.
And I said, Glenn, just hold the shot, because people are going to be running out of that cloud. And that will be the memory, that will be the experience, and if you can document it, you know, people can know and say their prayers because they're watching it.
Well, we'll never forget that one, and I'm sure you won't either, and so many reporters and other people on that on the scene will never forget that as well. Thank you, Joe, very, very
thank
much.
You.
Thank you, Joe.
Members of Congress, I have the high privilege and the distinct honor of presenting to you the President of the United States.
Speaker, Mr. President pro tempore, members of Congress, and fellow Americans. In the normal course of events, presidents come to this chamber to report on the State of the Union. Tonight, no such report is needed. It has already been delivered by the American people. We have seen it in the courage of passengers who rushed terrorists to save others on the ground. Passengers like an exceptional man named Todd Beamer. And would you please help me welcome his wife, Lisa Beamer, here tonight. We have seen the State of our Union in the endurance of rescuers working past exhaustion. We've seen the unfurling of flags, the lighting of candles, the giving of blood, the saying of prayers in English, Hebrew, and Arabic. We have seen the decency of a loving and giving people who have made the grief of strangers their own. My fellow citizens, for the last 9 days, the entire world has seen for itself the state of our Union, and it is strong. Tonight we are a country awakened to danger and called to defend freedom. Our grief has turned to anger and anger to resolution. Whether we bring our enemies to justice or bring justice to our enemies, justice will be done. I thank the Congress for its leadership at such an important time. All of America was touched on the evening of the tragedy to see Republicans and Democrats join together on the steps of this Capitol singing God Bless America. And you did more than sing. You acted by delivering $40 billion to rebuild our communities and meet the needs of our military. Speaker Hassert, Minority Leader Gephardt, Majority Leader Daschle, and Senator Lott, I thank you for your friendship, for your leadership, and for your service to our country. And on behalf of the American people, I thank the world for its outpouring of support. America will never forget the sounds of our national anthem playing at Buckingham Palace, on the streets of Paris, and at Berlin's Brandenburg Gate. We will not forget South Korean children gathering to pray outside our embassy in Seoul, or the prayers of sympathy offered at a mosque in Cairo. We will not forget moments of silence and days of mourning in Australia and Africa and Latin America. Nor will we forget the citizens of 80 other nations who died with our own. Dozens of Pakistanis, more than 130 Israelis, more than 250 citizens of India, men and women from El Salvador, Iran, Mexico, and Japan, and hundreds of British citizens. America has no truer friend than Great Britain. Once again, we are joined together in a great cause. So honored the British Prime Minister has crossed an ocean to show his unity with America. Thank you for coming, friend. September the 11th, enemies of freedom committed an act of war against our country. Americans have known wars, but for the past 136 years, they have been wars on foreign soil, except for one Sunday in 1941. Americans have known the casualties of war, but not at the center of a great city on a peaceful morning. Americans have known surprise attacks, but never before on thousands of civilians. All of this was brought upon us in a single day, and night fell on a different world, a world where freedom itself is under attack. Americans have many questions tonight. Americans are asking, who attacked our country? The evidence we have gathered all points to a collection of loosely affiliated terrorist organizations known as Al-Qaeda. They are some of the murderers indicted for bombing American embassies in Tanzania and Kenya and responsible for bombing the USS Cole. Al-Qaeda is to terror what the mafia is to crime, but its goal is not making money. Its goal is remaking the world and imposing its radical beliefs on people everywhere. The terrorists practice a fringe form of Islamic extremism that has been rejected by Muslim scholars and the vast majority of Muslim clerics, a fringe movement that perverts the peaceful teaching of Islam. The terrorist directive commands them to kill Christians and Jews, to kill all Americans, and make no distinctions among military and civilians, including women and children. This group and its leader, a person named Osama bin Laden, are linked to many other organizations in different countries, including the Egyptian Islamic Jihad and the Islamic Movement of Uzbekistan. There are thousands of these terrorists in more than 60 countries. They are recruited from their own nations and neighborhoods and brought to camps in places like Afghanistan, where they are trained in the tactics of terror. They are sent back to their homes or sent to hide in countries around the world to plot evil and destruction. The leadership of Al-Qaeda has great influence in Afghanistan and supports the Taliban regime in controlling most of that country. In Afghanistan, we see Al-Qaeda's vision for the world. Afghanistan's people have been brutalized. Many are starving, and many have fled. Women are not allowed to attend school. You can be jailed for owning a television. Religion can be practiced only as their leaders dictate. A man can be jailed in Afghanistan if his beard is not long enough. The United States respects the people of Afghanistan. After all, we are currently its largest source of humanitarian aid, but we condemn the Taliban regime. It is not only repressing its own people, it is threatening people everywhere by sponsoring and sheltering and supplying terrorists. By aiding and abetting murder, the Taliban regime is committing murder. And tonight, the United States of America makes the following demands on the Taliban. Deliver to United States authorities all the leaders of Al-Qaeda who hide in your land. Release all foreign nationals, including American citizens you have unjustly imprisoned protect foreign journalists, diplomats, and aid workers in your country. Close immediately and permanently every terrorist training camp in Afghanistan and hand over every terrorist and every person in their support structure to appropriate authorities. Give the United States full access to terrorist training camps so we can make sure they are no longer operating. These demands are not open to negotiation or discussion. Taliban must act and act immediately. They will hand over the terrorists, or they will share in their fate. I also want to speak tonight directly to Muslims throughout the world. We respect your faith. It's practiced freely by many millions of Americans and by millions more in countries that America counts as friends. Its teachings are good and peaceful. And those who commit evil in the name of Allah blaspheme the name of Allah. The terrorists are traitors to their own faith, trying in effect to hijack Islam itself. The enemy of America is not our many Muslim friends. It is not our many Arab friends. Our enemy is a radical network of terrorists and every government that supports them. Our war on terror begins with Al-Qaeda, but it does not end there. It will not end until every terrorist group of global reach has been found, stopped, and defeated. Americans are asking, why do they hate us? They hate what they see right here in this chamber, a democratically elected government. Their leaders are self-appointed. They hate our freedoms, our freedom of religion, our freedom of speech, our freedom to vote and assemble and disagree with each other. They want to overthrow existing governments in many Muslim countries, such as Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and Jordan. They want to drive Israel out of the Middle East. They want to drive Christians and Jews out of vast regions of Asia and Africa. These terrorists kill not merely to end lives, but to disrupt and end a way of life. With every atrocity, they hope that America grows fearful, retreating from the world and forsaking our friends. They stand against us because we stand in their way. We're not deceived by their pretenses to piety. We have seen their kind before. They are the heirs of all the murderous ideologies of the 20th century. By sacrificing human life to serve their radical visions, by abandoning every value except the will to power, they follow in the path of fascism, Nazism, and totalitarianism. And they will follow that path all the way to where it ends, in history's unmarked grave of discarded lies.
Americans are asking, how will we fight and win this war? We will direct every resource at our command, every means of diplomacy, every tool of intelligence, every instrument of law enforcement, every financial influence, and every necessary weapon of war, to the disruption and to the defeat of the global terror network. Now, this war will not be like the war against Iraq a decade ago, with the decisive liberation of territory and a swift conclusion. It will not look like the air war above Kosovo 2 years ago, where no ground troops were used and not a single American was lost in combat. Our response involves far more than instant retaliation and isolated strikes. Americans should not expect one battle, but a lengthy campaign, unlike any other we have ever seen. It may include dramatic strikes visible on TV and covert operations, secret even in success. We will starve terrorists of funding, turn them one against another, drive them from place to place until there is no refuge or no rest. And we will pursue nations that provide aid or safe haven to terrorism. Every nation in every region now has a decision to make. Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists. From this day forward, any nation that continues to harbor or support terrorism will be regarded by the United States as a hostile regime. Our nation has been put on notice. We're not immune from attack. We will take defensive measures against terrorism to protect Americans. Today, dozens of federal departments and agencies, as well as state and local governments, have responsibilities affecting homeland security. These efforts must be coordinated at the highest level. So tonight I announced the creation of a cabinet-level position reporting directly to me, the Office of Homeland Security. And tonight I also announced a distinguished American to lead this effort to strengthen American security, a military veteran, an effective governor, a true patriot, a trusted friend, Pennsylvania's Tom Ridge. He will lead, oversee, and coordinate a comprehensive national strategy to safeguard our country against terrorism and respond to any attacks that may come. These measures are essential. The only way to defeat terrorism as a threat to our way of life is to stop it, eliminate it, and destroy it where it grows. Many will be involved in this effort, from FBI agents to intelligence operatives to the reservists we have called to active duty. All deserve our thanks, and all have our prayers. And tonight, a few miles from the damaged Pentagon, I have a message for our military. Be ready. I've called the armed forces to alert, and there is a reason. The hour is coming when America will act. And you will make us proud. This is not, however, just America's fight. And what is at stake is not just America's freedom. This is the world's fight. This is civilization's fight. This is the fight of all who believe in progress and pluralism, tolerance and freedom. We ask every nation to join us. We will ask and we will need the help of police forces, intelligence service, and banking systems around the world. The United States is grateful that many nations and many international organizations have already responded with sympathy and with support. Nations from Latin America to Asia to Africa to Europe to the Islamic world. Perhaps the NATO Charter reflects best the attitude of the world. An attack on one is an attack on all. The civilized world is rallying to America's side. They understand that if this terror goes unpunished, their own cities, their own citizens may be next. Terror unanswered can not only bring down buildings, it can threaten the stability of legitimate governments. And you know what? We're not going to allow it. Americans are asking, what is expected of us? I ask you to live your lives and hug your children. I know many citizens have fears tonight, and I ask you to be calm and resolute, even in the face of a continuing threat. I ask you to uphold the values of America and remember why so many have come here. We're in a fight for our principles. And our first responsibility is to live by them. No one should be singled out for unfair treatment or unkind words because of their ethnic background or religious faith. I ask you to continue to support the victims of this tragedy with your contributions. Those who want to give can go to a central source of information, libertyunites.org, to find the names of groups providing direct help in New York, Pennsylvania, and Virginia. The thousands of FBI agents who are now at work in this investigation may need your cooperation, and I ask you to give it. I ask for your patience with the delays and inconveniences that may accompany tighter security, and for your patience in what will be a long struggle. I ask your continued participation and confidence in the American economy. Terrorists attacked a symbol of American prosperity. They did not touch its source. America is successful because of the hard work and creativity and enterprise of our people. These were the true strengths of our economy before September 11th, and they are our strengths today. Finally, please continue praying for the victims of terror and their families, for those in uniform, and for our great country. Prayer has comforted us in sorrow and will help strengthen us for the journey ahead. Tonight, I thank my fellow Americans for what you have already done and for what you will do. And ladies and gentlemen of the Congress, I thank you, their representatives, for what you have already done and for what we will do together. Tonight, we face new and sudden national challenges. We will come together to improve air safety, to dramatically expand the number of air marshals on domestic flights, and take new measures to prevent hijacking.
We will come together to promote stability and keep our airlines flying with direct assistance during this emergency. We will come together to give law enforcement the additional tools it needs to track down terror here at home. We will come together to strengthen our intelligence capabilities to know the plans of terrorists before they act and to find them before they strike. We will come together to take active steps that strengthen America's economy and put our people back to work. Tonight we welcome two leaders who embody the extraordinary spirit of all New Yorkers, Governor George Pataki and Mayor Rudolph Giuliani. As a symbol of America's resolve, my administration will work with Congress and these two leaders to show the world that we will rebuild New York City. After all that has just passed, all the lives taken and all the possibilities and hopes that died with them, it is natural to wonder if America's future is one of fear. Some speak of an age of terror. I know there are struggles ahead and dangers to face, but this country will define our times, not be defined by them. As long as the United States of America is determined and strong, this will not be an age of terror. This will be an age of liberty here and across the world. Great harm has been done to us. We have suffered great loss. And in our grief and anger, we have found our mission and our moment. Freedom and fear are at war. The advance of human freedom, the great achievement of our time and the great hope of every time, now depends on us. Our nation, this generation, will lift a dark threat of violence from our people and our future. We will rally the world to this cause by our efforts, by our courage. We will not tire, we will not falter, and we will not fail. It is my hope that in the months and years ahead, life will return almost to normal. We'll go back to our lives and routines, and that is good. Even grief recedes with time and grace. But our resolve must not pass. Each of us will remember what happened that day and to whom it happened. We'll remember the moment the news came, where we were, and what we were doing. Some will remember an image of a fire or a story of rescue. Some will carry memories of a face and a voice gone forever. And I will carry this. It is the police shield of a man named George Howard, who died at the World Trade Center trying to save others. It was given to me by his mom, Arlene, as a proud memorial to her son. It is my reminder of lives that ended and a task that does not end. I will not forget the wound to our country and those who inflicted it. I will not yield. I will not rest. I will not relent in waging this struggle for freedom and security for the American people. The course of this conflict is not known, yet its outcome is certain. Freedom and fear, justice and cruelty have always been at war. And we know that God is not neutral between them. Fellow citizens, citizens will meet violence with patient justice, assured of the rightness of our cause and confident of the victories to come. And all that lies before us, may God grant us wisdom and may He watch over the United States of America. Thank you.
Terrorists never won. They may have thought they won. You know, they inflicted terrible damage on people's lives and on our economy. But they were never going to defeat America. They just didn't understand us. They didn't know that we were a nation of compassionate, kind people who were very courageous and would not yield to their barbaric tactics. On September the 11th, thousands of our citizens lost their life, and I vowed that day that it wasn't going to happen again. I was in a restaurant in Dallas eating dinner with Laura. The Secret Service told me I had a phone call from the White House coming in about 20 minutes. I decided to take the call at the house. And President Obama called me, told me that Osama bin Laden had been killed. And my response was I congratulated him and the special operators that conducted a very dangerous mission.
Good evening. Tonight, I can report to the American people and to the world that the United States has conducted an operation that killed Osama bin Laden, the leader of Al-Qaeda, and a terrorist who's responsible for the murder of thousands of innocent men, women, and children. It was nearly 10 years ago that a bright September day was darkened by the worst attack on the American people in our history. The images of 9/11 are seared into our national memory. Hijacked planes cutting through a cloudless September sky, the Twin Towers collapsing to the ground, black smoke billowing up from the Pentagon, the wreckage of Flight 93 in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. where the actions of heroic citizens saved even more heartbreak and destruction. And yet we know that the worst images are those that were unseen to the world. The empty seat at the dinner table, children who were forced to grow up without their mother or their father, parents who would never know the feeling of their child's embrace, nearly 3,000 citizens taken from us, leaving a gaping hole in our hearts. On September 11th, 2001, in our time of grief, the American people came together. We offered our neighbors a hand, and we offered the wounded our blood. We reaffirmed our ties to each other and our love of community and country. On that day, no matter where we came from, what God we prayed to, or what race or ethnicity we were united as one American family. We were also united in our resolve to protect our nation and to bring those who committed this vicious attack to justice. We quickly learned that the 9/11 attacks were carried out by Al-Qaeda, an organization headed by Osama bin Laden, which had openly declared war on the United States and was committed to killing innocents in our country and around the globe. And so we went to war against Al-Qaeda to protect our citizens, our friends, and our allies. Over the last 10 years, thanks to the tireless and heroic work of our military and our counterterrorism professionals, we've made great strides in that effort. We've disrupted terrorist attacks and strengthened our homeland defense. In Afghanistan, we removed the Taliban government, which had given bin Laden and Al-Qaeda safe haven and support. And around the globe, we worked with our friends and allies to capture or kill scores of Al-Qaeda terrorists, including several who were a part of the 9/11 plot. Yet, Osama bin Laden avoided capture and escaped across the Afghan border into Pakistan. Meanwhile, Al-Qaeda continued to operate from along that border and operate through its affiliates across the world. And so shortly after taking office, I directed Leon Panetta, the director of the CIA, to make the killing or capture of bin Laden the top priority of our war against Al-Qaeda, even as we continued our broader efforts to disrupt, dismantle, and defeat his network. Then, last August, after years of painstaking work by our intelligence community, I was briefed on a possible lead to bin Laden. It was far from certain, and it took many months to run this thread to ground. I met repeatedly with my national security team as we developed more information about the possibility that we had located bin Laden hiding within a compound deep inside Pakistan. And finally, last week, I determined that we had enough intelligence to take action and authorized an operation to get Osama bin Laden and bring him to justice. Today, at my direction, the United States launched a targeted operation against that compound in Abbottabad, Pakistan. A small team of Americans carried out the operation with extraordinary courage and capability. No Americans were harmed. They took care to avoid civilian casualties. After a firefight, they killed Osama bin Laden and took custody of his body. For over two decades, bin Laden has been Al-Qaeda's leader and symbol, and has continued to plot attacks against our country and our friends and allies. The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat Al-Qaeda. Yet his death does not mark the end of our effort. There's no doubt that Al-Qaeda will continue to pursue attacks against us. We must, and we will, remain vigilant at home and abroad. As we do, we must also reaffirm that the United States is not and never will be at war with Islam. I've made clear, just as President Bush did shortly after 9/11, that our war is not against Islam. Bin Laden was not a Muslim leader. He was a mass murderer of Muslims. Indeed, Al-Qaeda has slaughtered scores of Muslims in many countries, including our own. So his demise should be welcomed by all who believe in peace and human dignity. Over the years, I've repeatedly made clear that we would take action within Pakistan if we knew where bin Laden was. That is what we've done. But it's important to note that our counterterrorism cooperation with Pakistan helped lead us to bin Laden. and the compound where he was hiding. Indeed, bin Laden had declared war against Pakistan as well and ordered attacks against the Pakistani people. Tonight, I called President Zardari, and my team has also spoken with their Pakistani counterparts. They agree that this is a good and historic day for both of our nations. And going forward, it is essential that Pakistan continue to join us in the fight against Al-Qaeda and its affiliates. The American people did not choose this fight. It came to our shores and started with the senseless slaughter of our citizens. After nearly 10 years of service, struggle, and sacrifice, we know well the costs of war. These efforts weigh on me every time I, as Commander-in-Chief, have to sign a letter to a family that has lost a loved one, or look into the eyes of a service member who's been gravely wounded. So Americans understand the costs of war. Yet, as a country, we will never tolerate our security being threatened, nor stand idly by when our people have been killed. We will be relentless in defense of our citizens and our friends and allies. We will be true to the values that make us who we are. And on nights like this one, we can say to those families who have lost loved ones to Al-Qaeda's terror, justice has been done. Tonight, we give thanks to the countless intelligence and counterterrorism professionals who've worked tirelessly to achieve this outcome. The American people do not see their work nor know their names, but tonight they feel the satisfaction of their work and the result of their pursuit of justice. We give thanks for the men who carried out this operation, for they exemplify the professionalism, patriotism, and unparalleled courage of those who serve our country. And they are part of a generation that has borne the heaviest share of the burden since that September day. Finally, let me say to the families who lost loved ones on 9/11 that we have never forgotten your loss, nor wavered in our commitment to see that we do whatever it takes to prevent another attack on our shores. And tonight, let us think back to the sense of unity that prevailed on 9/11. I know that it has at times frayed, yet today's achievement is a testament to the greatness of our country and the determination of the American people. The cause of securing our country is not complete, but tonight we are once again reminded that America can do whatever we set our mind to. That is the story of our history, whether it's the pursuit of prosperity for our people or the struggle for equality for all our citizens, our commitment to stand up for our values abroad, and our sacrifices to make the world a safer place. Let us remember that we can do these things not just because of wealth or power, but because of who we are. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. May God bless you. And may God bless the United States of America.
And so I was grateful. I didn't feel any great sense of happiness or jubilation. I felt a sense of closure. And I felt a sense of gratitude that justice had been done. Eventually, September the 11th will be, you know, a date on the calendar. It'd be like Pearl Harbor Day. For those of us who lived through it, it'll be a day we'll never forget.
Ladies and gentlemen, please rise for the singing of our national anthem.
All the ramparts we watch. sky.